are growing that Google plans to compete in the video game console space. Would you be down for a Google console? And more importantly, will you be able to play Fortnite crossplay on it? All this and more on another episode of the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, July the 1st of 2018, episode number 736 of our show. Happy Canada Day to all of our pals up north. Happy We're Back night, because we were off last week. No better way to celebrate a birthday of OLR than taking a week off. But we're back to start another year full of Orange Lounge Radio episodes after our 16th birthday 2 weeks ago. With you in studio, myself, Rob Roberts, and with me as always, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for cat-sitting Mr. Smush while I was away in Chicago. Appreciate it.
He was a good kitty.
Had a very good time, and I brought you back some candy.
Yes, and I'm going to have some right now.
Good. Those little, so what do you call this place? Vosges?
V-O-S-G-E-S.
Okay, so I'm assuming they don't have them here. I'm assuming it's a thing in Chicago or maybe generally the Midwest.
Actually, I did find that there's supposed to be one in New Orleans, and I think there's one in Southern California, but I didn't know about it.
So maybe Southern California. So not really close to here.
Oh my God, it smells so good.
But anyway, those peanut butter things I bought, those are the best things I've ever had in my entire life as far as like candy goes. So I'm really excited for Jamie to try one here on air. So she's going to open that box. I will say this, too, about Jamie is that she went with me to accompany me right before I left for Chicago because, you know, she's been an owner of one of these devices. And I finally bit the bullet and bought myself for my birthday an Apple Watch. That's right. I said I would never get on the Apple Watch train. And here I am. I finally bought one. You know what finally did it for me? You know what finally, like, brought me over to the dark side?
Hmm.
All the exercise motivating that it does. And I have to admit, the whole, like, bugging me to stand up and all that stuff is actually really motivating. Speaking of exercise, time for candy. So you're going to eat one of these?
Sea salt on top. Let's
yes.
take a bite.
All right. So she's going to eat one right now. And this is radio.
Oh, fucking hell.
Right? Aren't those amazing?
Praise Jesus, and I don't even believe in Jesus.
Leave it to the resident Jewish girl here on the show to say praise Jesus from biting into a chocolate. I love it. All right. Mm. Yeah, I know.
Mm.
I know. All right.
Fucking A.
While she's indulging in that, you need to put those. You know what you need to do? You need to put those in a glass case, Dark Sakura, which is like, in case of Shark Week, break glass. And then you have those ready to go.
Girl, it's so rich. I'm just going to sit here in the afterglow and smoke a cigarette.
All right. Sounds good. Just blow the smoke outside. All right. Say hello to Techmaster Loki is also
hello.
Here. Hi, Loki.
Hi.
Hi. You may have to try to bribe your way to one of those chocolates later. I know you don't usually eat food.
Is it chocolate and peanut butter?
It's chocolate and peanut butter.
I fucking hate chocolate peanut
butter. God damn it, Loki. You hate everything.
I did bring something else, though, that Loki might be interested in.
What's that?
Honey butter potato chips.
I'll try some of those. That sounds good.
Maybe. That's just like weird.
Really fucking good.
If it's not meat, Loki doesn't care. You know how Loki?
It tastes like the honey butter from, what was that salad place we used to have out here? Not Sweet Tomatoes, but.
The soup
fresh
plantation?
Choice.
Fresh Choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It is good. Anyway.
It's the Calbee chips.
But you brought dinner tonight from one of those make your own pizza places that they're like, where did these things come from? Like, it's like overnight we have, what is it? The Pizza Rev, the Pieology, the Mod Pizza, like all these.
Yeah.
Somebody took the idea of a Chipotle and applied it to pizza. All these places popped up like overnight. It's crazy.
And it's just like, I didn't really necessarily want anything fancy. I just wanted pepperoni. you know, but I added a few extra things on top of it, like garlic stuff. But honestly, though, like, I like Pieology better. Like, I don't know. This is the first time I've had Mod Pizza, and it's just kind of, it's
all
right.
They're really all the same to me. They really,
but
really
are. But they're not all the same, because they have different sauces and stuff, and that stuff does make a difference.
All right. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, because part of what makes Orange Lounge Radio special is the fact that we have been broadcasting live over the past 16 years, and we're always with you guys in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com, and you can chat along with the show and say things like calling me a sheep, which some people are doing about my new watch purchase, to
yeah,
which I say,
well, fuck them.
To which I say, suck it. All right.
You know what?
Huh.
people treat their technology like fucking religion, and you want to know what? Giving people shit about the technology that they like is just as stupid as giving people shit for their religion.
Honestly, it's not that important to me. If you want a Fitbit, get a Fitbit. I realize the newer Fitbits do like a lot of the same shit. If that's what you want, go ahead. I don't care. Like, it doesn't. Okay. My Monique Hart voice is kicking in here. I just do what you want. It's all good. Just, you know, I just chose to get the Apple Watch. I definitely wanted my rainbow band, which Jamie helped hook me up with. And then I have the little face on the watch that does a little dancing rainbow, too.
I got Rob the band for his birthday, and I fed him and bought makeup.
Yes. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Let's see. Also looking in chat at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Raginator talking about Loki hating chocolate and peanut butter together.
Yeah, I just don't. Saying, I like them both individually. I just don't like the combination.
Saying, of course Loki hates everything. He's a gamer. Gamers hate everything. Remember?
I like both. I just don't like the combination of flavors. I'm sorry.
I like Nintendo Switch. And I like Xbox One, but how dare Minecraft put them together? No, it's nothing like that. Let's see.
It is a little confusing to have two copies of Minecraft, though, on my Switch now.
It is. Tiger Claw on chat says, can Rob make calls on his Apple Watch? I think so, but I have the one.
You absolutely can.
Yeah, but mine doesn't have the cellular because I didn't need it. Like, yeah. I do have an iPhone, so I was like, well, I always have my iPhone, so I'm not worried about the whole, like, you have to be near it. And I do notice they work pretty far apart still. And it's not like your watch immediately shuts down if you get away from your phone. Like, it still tracks all the stuff, and then the next time you're close to your phone, it kind of pairs up again.
I can leave my watch in the living room, and I have to be about a house and a half away outside. Yeah. Through the building before it realizes I don't have my phone with me.
Yeah, yeah, same thing at work. So anyway, let's see. We're going to get into some news stories here. In fact, I want to get into our kickoff topic tonight, where I want to talk about some of the things that we missed last week while we weren't here, because we did miss quite a few things last week, including official news that Yoshi on the Switch was delayed to 2019.
Everything's delayed to 2019.
Kind of. Well, I mean, and not too surprising when you figure that it didn't make the E3 press conference. And a lot of people were asking, where's Yoshi? So the fact that it got delayed to 2019, probably not the biggest surprise in the world. And honestly, is Nintendo doing anything different than the other companies? Like, practically all those games that Sony showed at their thing, except Spider-Man, are 2019 games. So you know what? Whatever. Is Last of Us 2 2019 as well?
I believe they,
I don't think they've committed to a date yet, have they? I don't know. Anyway, let's see. Also, I guess Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, speaking of Nintendo news, the worlds dedicated to Super Mario 3D World are being replaced by Super Mario Odyssey ones, which, okay, so it's not going to be a direct port of Captain Toad on Wii U.
Why not just put both in there?
Yeah, that's true. Why not both?
Well, let's just take it out. Why?
Maybe there'll be DLC. I don't know. Who knows? Let's see. Nintendo and Disney are teaming up to make a Nintendo Switch-themed game show. Nintendo Switch Family Showdown. It is a new show that's going to be on the Disney Channel, Disney XD, and I think online, the Disney Now streaming app. Because, you know, everybody has their own fucking streaming app in this day and age. So anyway, four families will battle it out for points and prizes by playing Nintendo Switch games against each other. So it's kind of like, I guess, like a modern day Nick Arcade meets Family Double Dare or something. I don't know. Which, by the way, speaking of game shows and speaking of Double Dare, Loki, I know you had to have watched the new one.
I didn't watch the new one, but I know it came back.
Yeah, no, it did come back. I didn't watch it either because I was out.
Because I don't have Nickelodeon, so I don't have.
Really?
No, because we don't have cable.
I thought, I was like, Nickelodeon, I thought was a part of like basic cable. Okay.
No, it's not, actually.
Really?
Basic cable is your local channels and that's it.
All right. Well, anyway, I know a lot of people are looking forward to the Double Dare. I like that they have a new host and they have Mark Summers. I like that they kind of used both. I thought that was a good way to kind of nod to the classic but still keep it like very modern. So anyway, back to the Disney game show. Searching for collectibles in Mario Odyssey might be one round. Head-to-head Mario Tennis Aces. Just Dance Dance-Offs. Oh, that'll be a hoot and a holler. Anyway,
I don't know. That sounds really stupid.
It's going to be a family game show. Your kids will like it.
I get it, but it's just it's hard to ignore the just product. It's like an advertisement.
Breakman in chat wants to know, when is that coming out? Probably 2019, like everything else, probably. I don't think it's this year.
Oh, my fucking God. I just took a bite of my other chocolate.
So, okay. So not to derail, but that's what Jamie does. So you opened the other chocolate bar that I brought you, which was what? It was a stout chocolate bar?
It's a burnt caramel smoking stout, but it doesn't taste like caramel, so it's good.
Uh-huh.
But I can get the stout taste in it because chocolate and Guinness are amazing together. Mm-hmm. It's got like a cream in it. And
you have to let me try like a little bite at some point just because I'm curious. Super curious. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Go ahead and have some.
Well, I'm trying to do a show here.
Girl, put this in your mouth and eat it.
Well, if you insist. All right. Here, hold on. Okay. That is pretty fucking good.
Right? Do you want some?
That's pretty amazing.
No, I'm okay. Yeah.
Loki hates everything. You forgot. All right.
But I would still be rude if I didn't offer.
The cross-platform debates heat up. I think we're going to get into it a little bit on tonight's show as well. But I think you guys probably saw the commercial that showed up on Twitter, at least. I think it's around social media and stuff. The whole Survive Together. There's a Minecraft ad that's full on. Microsoft and Nintendo did this ad together. And there's an Xbox player and a Nintendo player. And it's really cute because the Xbox player is wearing green. The Nintendo player is playing red. Isn't it interesting how like we have the three, like, I know they're not the three primary colors. I guess they're the three light colors, red, green, blue, right? Because I know primary is red, yellow, blue. But Xbox is green. Nintendo is now red. And Sony is blue. So we have a green and a red commercial that came together, and it says Survive Together. It's really cute. Did you see the commercial?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's and then, of course, that led to all these parodies where people were making like a blue screen that said Survive Alone. You know, things like that, kind of taking jabs at Sony. But anyway, an ex-Sony developer said that the PlayStation 4 console cross-platform block is all about the money. Duh. We all know it's about greed, and we all know it's about Sony just trying to sit on their little throne. But the problem is, this little reputation is going to hurt them. And the long game is not good with this strategy. That's the problem with this. People are going to fucking remember this. When the Xbox 2 is now, we all know it's not going to be called that, but when the next Xbox is announced, Sony can't stick to these types of rules, or they're only going to allow Microsoft to punch them the way that they punched Microsoft at E3 a few years ago when they first unveiled PS4. So just look out, Sony. Don't do this. All right. Anyway, let's see. Other news from last week. Final Fantasy VII Remake. It is still happening. Tetsuya Nomura expressing a little regret that they announced it so early, but they kind of had to because of all the rumors and talk, you know. Also, they're saying the remake will dive deeper into Avalanche members and other characters, which makes me think that this isn't so much a remake as it is a reimagining if they're expanding on certain elements of the story and changing things like this. Well, that's not really a remake, is it?
Remakes can be, you know, covering different stuff.
I guess that's true. I guess so. But doesn't that seem more like a reimagining, Logie?
Maybe a little bit, but I hope that they have more like the Advent Children stuff in there.
Yeah.
Let's go even beyond the story.
Some thoughts in our chat at live.vognetwork.com. SG100 Matt said they needed to announce it before Walmart Canada announced it. Very true. JD says maybe they're pulling in some of the prequel games like Crisis Core before Crisis. Oh, so kind of like alluding to some of the other things maybe that happened in the side stories. That's
all the billion of side story games that they had.
Good call out, I suppose. And then one of the biggest stories that came out the week we were gone, Evil G, or GameStop, but we sometimes call them Evil G, they're in talks with private firms about a buyout. So it looks like...
You also heard the other story, though, too.
What's that?
They're going to carry comics.
Yeah, I did hear that, too. So GameStop is definitely having to change a little bit, probably because of the ramp up in more and more games being distributed digitally.
So they're not content with putting the local video game stores out of business. They're also now aiming for the jugular for the comic book industry.
Well, they're trying to. They're basically trying to diversify because there's no margin in games. And so even with game sales, you know, and I imagine even less so with digital stuff, they're not making a lot of money on that. And I'm guessing that maybe the used market's not what it used to be. And so now they're making money from other things that are higher margin, like, you know, collectibles.
Funko Pops.
Yeah, games, you know, seriously, GameStop is 50% pop figures now.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Merchandise.
And, you know, judging by my kids and stuff, most of their attention was on all the collectible stuff that they had there. and not so much the games.
So these are basically going to become nerd stores across America. Is
yeah,
what I'm
probably
hearing.
Like a
they already own
like a Hot Topic, but true. Just gaming centric.
Interesting. Well, isn't that Box Lunch?
Box yeah. Lunch is actually a lot better than Hot Topic.
I like Box Lunch a lot, personally. And yeah, I find the good stuff in there.
They had a Retzko shirt I want, but they wanted like $40 for it, so whatever.
Do they have those? I don't know if everybody in our chat would know what that store is, but it's in, like, if you go to this place called The Mall, which most towns still have them, not all.
Uh-oh, wait. Sorry.
It's where your Sears used to be.
A line from a movie popped in my head. He took us to something called The Mall. And something called credit cards. Sorry, it's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh my God, that's a throwback. I was thinking mall rats. If you want to see like malls at their heyday height, go check out Mall Rats with Jay and Silent
Bob.
And
pay attention to the name of the stores.
Yeah. And see if you can see the stereo image. Anyway, where were we? Oh yes, GameStop. Malls. Yeah. Yes.
Box lunch.
Oh, and also, you know, along the lines of GameStop looking for a buyer, you know, Toys R Us is officially closed now.
That I saw all the memes of the Jeffrey with his bags packed, ready to go, and all the, you know,
it was
the goodbye
sad
messages.
Because I missed the last day. I was hoping they go like one more time before they closed. They didn't really have anything there, though. Like, I looked, there was nothing.
I did not set foot into a Toys R Us one time during that entire sale. What do I win?
You win not getting stuff for really cheap. Because
I know. Well, isn't it all going to end up at the dollar store now anyway?
No. They sold it off. I mean, well, I think like a lot of like, especially like I was looking at Legos. So a lot of the Lego stuff that was there, I think the local hobby shop that sells Legos bought most of that because, you know, it's 50% off.
That reminds me. I got you something,
and,
Loki.
And, you know, they could throw the markup stuff. Oh, yeah. The Lego tape stuff. This stuff's awesome.
It was like the last one they had.
What is that?
Lego
it's tape. You like stick it on your wall and you can stick stuff to it.
That's cool.
thank you. But yeah, I got like a nice set, you know, saved like $80 off of it.
Huh.
I bought one of those and I bought Jenga, but it was like not real Jenga.
They had like I was speaking with my mom yesterday and she went there and bought Christmas gifts for the kids because they had a lot of stuff. And there was a lot of like big ticket items that my kids wanted. And I'm like, I wish this was cheaper. So I was waiting for it to go cheaper. And that's why I was actually, that was my next trip was going to be his buying that stuff for Christmas. So maybe she took care of that.
Something that I noticed in our little thread where we compile all the stories where Dark Tetsuya helps us out in some of our story compilation for each show, he kind of called this out as a piece from last week that he thought was worth mentioning. And Dark Soccer, since this has to do with retro games, namely SNK, I think this is something that will probably be up your alley. But you know how they're doing this SNK 40th anniversary collection that's coming out later this year that's kind of like the, you know, all the old school games in one package. Apparently, some of the games have been redesigned to work as twin stick games because some games originally had a rotary control.
Mm-hmm.
So that can't be replicated on a controller because the rotary is kind of unique in its design.
Yeah.
So what happened is that, you know, the ports were mapping buttons to rotate clockwise or counterclockwise and it just didn't work. So now the games play as twin stick. Basically. So instead of, you know, turning, you basically have one to point, I guess, like, you know, playing like what? Smash TV, Robotron, those types of games. So that's kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I was already sold on this collection anyway because I'm a sucker for retro compilations. So that just makes me all the more interested in this. That's for sure. So there you go. So that's a little bit of what y'all missed last week while we were off.
You also missed Rob's birthday.
That's right. Yes, my 40th birthday was on Tuesday. Was on Tuesday.
Yes.
I'm at that age where I forget. Yeah, my 40th birthday was Tuesday.
Your 40 extravaganza.
I didn't forget. So I figured, you know, as a gift to not only the listeners, but to Rob. You know,
okay.
So because it's more for Rob, but, you know, the listeners, I'm sure, can enjoy, you know, being that.
I have no idea what's coming, by the way. He just said that there is a birthday present.
Yes, and Bobby will appreciate this. So I'll be right back, and I'll bring you what I have.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Did he hid something?
He's bringing you a head.
I'm fucking scared.
In a
duffel
bag.
That means it was too big to hide. So he dropped it in the living room. Oh, my God, this is gigantic. What the fuck is this? Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God, I'm scared. This is... What?
So I figured since you've been putting it off for too long, it's about time that you got on the whole VR craze. So not only got you that, but also one of my favorite games on the system, which is Until Dawn Rush of Blood. So.
He bought me a PSVR. I can't fucking believe it. That's what, and it does. Yep, it has Skyrim.
Cool.
The necessity. They all have Skyrim nowadays.
Thank you so much. Oh my God, I'm like speechless. It's great. You know who's going to be mad at you though?
What?
Shane, because just before I left for Chicago, I was like, oh, when I get back from Chicago, I'll look into buying your PSVR.
Oops.
Oops. No, I love it. Oh, there's something else in here.
Yeah, Until Dawn, because that's...
Oh, no.
It's a great game.
Oh, no. I love it, though. Thank you, Loki, you really did. I know these things aren't cheap. Thank you so much. Holy shit.
No problem.
Wow.
So I figured it'd be fun because, you know, you do the streaming stuff and everything, yeah. So...
Oh, for sure. And I am super looking forward to Tetris Effect.
Exactly.
That was finally the thing that made me go, okay, I need
and
a PSVR.
And you have games already, so you have Rez.
Yep.
You know,
oh, I get to play Rez. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Yes. Yeah. I'm super excited. Looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SG100 Matt says, Mr. Smoosh is like a new thing that's mine now. Yep. Blowing Shit Up Man says, everybody gets a Skyrim. And Dark Tetsuya says, oh, man, I want to see that on Twitch. You got it. We'll do some Twitch streams from the PS4 later this week. I can't do it tonight because I'm not going to get it set up that fast. But this week for sure. That's great. Oh my God! Thank you so much.
They have most of the games are digital, so you have to get some digital games. Like I picked up like some stuff this week, but I still haven't played it yet. Just in Time Inc., which is kind of a cross between like if you think Super Hot and Job Simulator. So you're trying to stop people from dying from tragedies, and so it's hilarious though. So like I really want to play that, but that'd be a great like streaming game right there.
Ragenator in chat says, now that Rob Roberts has a PSVR, I have to ask the $1 million question: what is the TTP with the PSVR? First off, you nasty. Second off, how do you know it hasn't already happened? Just kidding. Don't be nasty. But maybe I'll do a Twitch stream with no pants. You'll never know. You'll never know. All right. Anyway. Nasty, nasty. Let's see. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says, I can only imagine what it's like in VR, but I liked it. Good luck on saving everyone. Tiger Claw wants you to know, as if you don't already, Loki, Ready Player One is coming out digitally this Tuesday. Already pre-ordered the digital version.
Yeah, I'm in no hurry to get the digital version again. I mean, I've already seen it like 2 or 3 times. So.
Yeah. Okay.
I wanted to go see Ant-Man and the Wasp this weekend. However,
uh-oh.
I have been informed by my wife that the Whitney Houston documentary is coming to theaters that same day. So unfortunately, I will be seeing that instead.
Bobby!
So, oh well. I'll have to see it on the weekend, I guess.
I can't wrap my head around that.
It's not
about bringing your spouse to see something they don't want to see.
I would take your wife to see the Whitney Houston documentary because I would see that. I didn't even know one was coming. I knew there's a Mr. Rogers documentary.
I want to see
that. I want to see.
Yeah, maybe you guys can negotiate. See that one.
But like, if Dan was like, "Hey, I'm going to go see this. Do you want to go?" I'd be like, "No."
that's with.
That's what he tells me.
That's Alan in Scary Movies when he wants to go see. I don't know what are the big scary movies. It. He wants to go see It. I'm like, don't you have other friends locally that want to go see it? Like, you know, that's everything. He's free.
All right. I mean, we went and saw, was it the Bodyguard musical and everything? So, I mean.
I forgot. With, who was it? Crystal Waters, right? Or something? No. One of those divas from the 90s, right?
There was somebody, but I don't remember who it was. Yeah. But it was all right. I mean, it was okay.
Okay. Was it right? But it's okay. Were you going to make it anyway?
Stop.
You want to know how many freaking drag queens I've heard do that song? All of them.
All right.
All of them, Rob. All of them.
Let's get into how was your gaming week and the types of video games that you've been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a damn thing except for the stuff I play on the phone. You want to know why? Because of awesome games done quick. I'm also right now buying a Legend of Zelda t-shirt. But anyway, back to this. I have been playing Pokemon, and I've been playing Idle Pouring, but I really, like, I watched the finale last night so I could watch the Final Fantasy VI playthrough, and I really super enjoyed it, and it was just so much memory on that that I think I'm actually planning on starting that up again to play on my SNES Classic. So I'm thinking about it anyway. But that's really been about what I've been doing anyway, just because I really haven't wanted to do anything else.
All right, then we'll move on to Loki.
I didn't play a whole ton of stuff this week, but I did play, I got Luminous Remastered, so I played a little bit of that on the Switch, and it was fine. I tried a little bit of the new Minecraft for the Switch, so it's kind of confusing now. So they have the Minecraft Switch Edition, which is its own thing, and then the Minecraft that's kind of everybody, you know, the one that's tied in with Xbox Live, the one that you can play cross-platform on, is its own thing, which is really weird. And then on top of that, like, I don't really care for the port that they did for that one, because it's probably good on TV, but on the screen, they didn't account for the size of the screen and the resolution, so all of the text boxes are really small, and it makes it kind of difficult to see what you're doing in there. I mean, whatever, that's a small nitpick, but it's kind of annoying. It's like, I kind of rather play the other one that would look much nicer, but whatever. I just wish you had an option to, like, tweak some of that stuff, but whatever. It's all good. The aquatic update's pretty awesome. I haven't really played too much of it on my PC, so I'll have to check that out. But yeah, it was kind of fun. Most of my time was playing Pokemon Go, just because I feel obligated now to get enough gifts to send to everybody every single day. And so it's
the struggle.
It's just like, I have 11 friends, and it's just like, dude, I have to drive by all of these Pokestops to get stuff, and it's just...
You have to let it go at some point. Now, again, I got into this on Bobby's show a little bit. I'm not trying to be that guy, but the reality is, between the people I know that play Ingress, between the people on Facebook, Twitter, I have 73 friends on Pokemon Go. So, like, I'm not going to be able to send out that many gifts a day. I just can't. Like, I physically cannot visit 73 Pokestops in a day. And that's assuming each stop gives me a gift, which is not even the case. So I kind of have to prioritize, like, who are the local people that I'm more likely to raid with and trade with, because I want to increase those friendships faster. And it's like, I'll send gifts out to the long-distance people as I can. But, like, yeah, oh, my God, I don't get enough gifts. It's
and they,
hard.
They did nerf it a bit, because you were getting like a ton of stuff from those gifts, and then now it's a little less. But I mean, I'm still having trouble. Like, I've had to expand my inventory twice just to be able to keep up with everything, and it's still not enough. I'm like, I'm trying to catch everything. I literally am catching everything I see, even if I don't want it, just to use up the Pokeballs, and it's not enough. I just can't. I can't throw enough of them away. So that's what I played this week.
All right. My gaming week. I've also played the brand new Luminous Remastered on Nintendo Switch. I'll probably play it after the show tonight on the live streams. So that'll be fun. Yeah, I'm a fan. Obviously, I love that they redid Luminous. It is pretty much the original game, but this time, you know, that I can play on my HD TV as opposed to a little portable device. So that's cool. And I realize that they did do a version of Luminous on Xbox 360. They did do a version of it on PC. You know, so it's not like I haven't played Luminous on my TV before, but it's the first opportunity to play those old skins, you know, shine in, move your body, and, like, you know, those like older skins from that game. So it's really cool to get to experience all that again, and the fact that it's on the Switch, you know, being portable and all that stuff, very cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, big fan of Shine It, or of Shine It, of Luminous. I mean, what else is there in Luminous?
It's basically
Shine in the game. But no, seriously, big fan of Luminous. If you've never played it and you like puzzle games at all, you have to give this a try. If you like music games, I kind of feel like you have to give this a try. Now, if you're not a fan of puzzle games, then I don't think this one's going to win you over. You know, because you're
probably... Then why are we friends?
You're probably going to look at it and go, it's kind of like the same thing over and over. Like, if you can't see the value in a game like Tetris, then you're not going to see it in Luminous either. But, like, have you seen... Speaking of Tetris, by the way, have you guys seen some of the gameplay that's out there now for Tetris Effect?
Yes.
Because now that... I don't know if critics have a copy of it or somehow... Like, I know it was at E3, but, like, there's, like, off the screen or, like, a direct feed B-roll stuff out there. It is Luminous... But Tetris. It is like the exact same. Like the themes and the blocks change after you get so many like lines and stuff. And the thing they did to Tetris, they made it so that you can stop time. And so you can actually get up to 16 clears at one. You can get 16 lines at a time. So
yes,
pretty crazy
which
stuff.
The expert Tetris player did.
Yes. Yeah, that's the same thing I saw that YouTube out there, which I guess a ton of people have seen that. If you haven't seen, just Google or look on YouTube for Tetris Effect expert player or something, and you'll find this video, and it has a lot of footage from the game, and you can see the expert Tetris player. I think they showed like footage of him from like the NES World Championships in the 90s or something. So he's in his 40s now, like me, and he's like a Tetris master, and he was playing that game. So, yeah, I'm so excited for Tetris Effect, you guys. And, like, Luminous is just, like, warming me up to that. Otherwise, I've also been playing a lot of Pokemon Go. Same kind of deal that Loki was talking about, except, you know, just trying to get all the presents I can. So, again, if you're my friend in Pokemon Go and I haven't been sending you enough gifts or opening your gifts, I am sorry. Blame Niantic for only letting me open 20 a day. They should still let you open gifts, even if you only get, like, a Pokeball or a potion or just, like, experience or something. Like, just a little something to let you open all your gifts would be great. At least you can send out unlimited. But, again, trying to get that many is a beast. But I am trying to prioritize people that, like, I raid with, I trade with, that are, like, local, where I'm going to see those benefits. So, sorry about that. Anyway, let's see. And then others. No shiny Roselia, though, which disappoints me. I've been trying.
I don't really like that Pokemon in the beginning. They're like, okay, there's a shiny one out there. So, like, everyone I've seen is like, not shiny, bye. Not a shiny, bye.
Well, I guess the reason why they did that is this Safari Zone event they're doing in Europe right now, which is kind of like Europe's own community day sort of thing.
Yeah.
I guess it's happening at a rose garden, or it's some type of like botanical garden. So that's why they did Roselia.
I guess it makes sense. It's just, you know, I can't evolve it, so it's like, well, I'm
not yet, but it's a Gen 4 or 5 has a evolve. I think it's Gen 4. Gen 4 has so many, like, game-breaking Pokemon for the current system. Like, this is why we're having to wait a little bit for Gen 4, because I think Gen 4 is going to require a rebalance of everything, and so I'm not sure how popular that's going to be. ActDeft in our chat room points out at live.vognetwork.com, the GoFest shinies are going to be Minion and Plusle, so the little battery Pikachus. Y'all know which ones those are, right? Plus and minus Pikachus?
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are going to be shiny for Chicago. But it'll be worldwide like the Roselia was.
But they're so weak.
I know. They're not my favorite either. And I don't think those do evolve. I don't think those ever go anywhere. I could be wrong. Chatters, Pokemon experts, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But
I've been catching a lot of those too lately, but it's just like they're so weak.
Yeah. I don't think they go in. They don't go into the Pikachu chain at all. It's just they're kind of separate. So let's see. SG100 Matt says, spots that don't get too much Pogo traffic have better odds of getting shinies. Interesting. I thought kind of the friends list was an interesting way to help players in rural areas. Because, you know, if I know people that are in rural areas that don't get to spin Pokestops, imagine getting to open 20 gifts in a day. Like, you're able to get gear, which is nice. So, anyway. Other games I've been playing this week, still playing Diablo 3. So my seasonal character, I mentioned before the last show, I wasn't 70 yet. So now I'm 70 Paragon 300 plus. I hit Paragon 300 earlier today. So thanks to some of Grandpa from Horde House or Captain Matt from Starboard Power Coupling. Thanks to his friends for power leveling. We were doing like level 75 greater rifts. I gained 64 Paragon levels in one run. One of those was crazy. So that was fun. And then I've been playing more Heroes of the Storm again because they suckered me into watching it on Twitch to get more of the loot chest drops, which in turn make me want to play Heroes of the Storm more. So that's that. Oh, and one more. Overwatch. I actually checked out Overwatch for the first time this week in a long time because of all the Symmetra rework. They did a big Symmetra rework. They announced a new character on the PTR, which I know is coming up later in the show, which Overwatch fans already know, but we'll talk about that later. But I wanted to see the Symmetra reworking that they did. So obviously I wasn't going to get to play her in quick match because people are picking her like that to get to use her. But I got to play around in a little test zone. And then I went into a match as like Moira because I really love playing Moira. She's a great, like, kind of fun, like, heel and slight damage person. So yeah, I had a lot of fun playing her, and I did well enough that I got the little reputation thingies that are new. Is that what they're called? don't know. They introduced. I think it's to try to counteract some of the toxicity in Overwatch. Is instead of making a negative mark thing, they try to do a positive thing where you can basically give like commendations to players who are really, really good. I think that's what they call it. Maybe somebody in chat at live.vognetwork.com knows what they really call it, but it's like extra recognition to do well and beyond. And it goes on your profile. Like the more of these you get, the more of these commendations you get, the more you kind of level up on your profile, which is kind of cool. So people are trying to be nice to get those endorsements. Thank you. I was like, what were they called? Yes, endorsements. Thank you, Artif. No, I think that is right. So anyway, that was my gaming week. I've talked plenty enough. So in this part of the show, I will remind you to check out our Twitter at twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. And that's all the housekeeping I have for you right now. We will be here over the next few weeks. There's no shows off planned until Labor Day, because Labor Day weekend, I will be at Dragon Con. And if you are in the Southeast area or anywhere remotely near Atlanta, you should be making plans to attend Dragon Con as well, because it's a whole lot of fun. It looks very, very likely I will be doing some panels with the podcasting track. Very likely there may be more than that this year, so you'll just stay tuned. Really excited at some of the prospects for this year's Dragon Con, so stay tuned for that. Bobby Blackwolf will be there too. He's doing a lot of stuff too. And from my understanding is, because you guys know a good friend that was here on the last episode relocated to the East Coast. So Extifer is now on the East Coast, but he only is going to live like 6 hours from Atlanta, so Extifer may be at Dragon Con this year. I'm trying to get him to come. So we'll see what happens. I think it'll be fun. So check that out. Anyway, let's get into some gaming news and some other things that have happened this week. Loki.
So you may remember that Valve got rid of the API support for that was allowing Steam Spy to work. And mainly they had to kind of shut it off because of some of the GDPR, European, I guess, guidelines for data privacy enforcement. They had to stay in compliant with that. And because of that, that's why, you know, all of everybody's profiles are private. So they can't really scrape that stuff. So now they're basically saying, you know, that they're going to come up with something to take its place that's going to be better. Their quote, basically, our general approach has been to provide open APIs so that we don't offer the amount of tools that we should. The community can step in, which allows things like Steam Spy to happen. However, that had a broad variance in how accurate it was. It was very accurate for some games and inaccurate for a few others. So they're hoping to fix the issue and create something that's better than Steam Spy to replace it. So yes, we're working on new tools and new ways to getting data out of Steam. And we hope that data can be more accurate and more useful than what Steam Spy previously offered. So that sounds like a good thing. And I guess we'll just wait and see when that happens. Because we're talking Valve time here. So, you know, we might
be alive.
Well,
they also can't count to three.
We might be alive when that happens. Or we might not. Who knows? Do they even give a shit? Because, I mean, after all, it's just selling games. I didn't really buy a whole lot on the Steam sale. Or was that... That was recent, wasn't it?
It's still going.
It is?
Yeah. I had some strong words on Steam the past couple episodes, so I'm not really jumping at the bit to promote their sale. But I understand. And the reality is, you know, I bought a game that was very, very cheap.
I had to buy Earth Defense Force 4.1 because it was only $20 instead of like 50 what it normally is.
But I can still be a frustrated customer.
I haven't even looked at it. I should probably look.
There's a lot of stuff. But
so people can be pissed at. So also, husband can be pissed at me.
Well, I'll say this too, though. Keep in mind that usually when these types of sales happen, don't forget to check out GOG, Itch.io, the other Humble Bundle, the other stores too, because they tend to do response sales, especially around the 4th of July. So, you know, I will say that. Don't feel like you have to put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right.
And I did. I did check the others first.
Okay.
But they were, Earth Defense Force is only on sale in the Steam store, so.
Yeah, it happens.
Had to bite the bullet there. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, let's talk about Pokemon Go again. Yeah, we won't talk about our weeks, but the reality is there's probably a lot of people talking about Pokemon Go right now. Why? Because it apparently is at its highest player count since the beginning of the game. So obviously when the game first came out, like fucking everybody was playing it.
Yeah.
Then as some of the server issues and, you know, they took away the radars, you know, they were doing things that made some people kind of over it. So it dropped way off, but it was far from dead. It was never a dead game, despite what some sensationalist clickbait headlines would make you believe. And the reality is it's back from the dead this week. It's doing very well. This is based on a study from Superdata. Apparently, the game generated $104 million in May. I don't know how they measure this, but I guess they can see some of the rankings in the different stores and stuff. They kind of figure it out that way. Anyway, the long-awaited trading feature as well as friend feature, this is being credited for that whole thing. So have you done any trading in Go?
I haven't, no.
I should trade you a Pokemon because if I trade you a Pokemon that I got in Chicago, you'll instantly get your bronze trading medal because it's over 1,000 kilometers.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, kind of fun. And I can trade you one too, Jamie, if you want. So anyway, a lot of people coming back to Pokemon Go because they're getting ready for Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. I know there were some people that were coming back for that. The game is doing quite well. So if you call it a dead game right now, you don't know what you're talking about, clearly. Props to them for bringing people back. How long will it stay that high? We'll see. I think it'll probably taper off pretty quick again. But they've done a pretty good job about doing these little things that kind of get people that are curious to pop on back and check it out. That's for sure. So check that out. Moving on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Just finding out that Dragon Ball FighterZ for the Ultimate Edition is $70 on Steam right now. No, but other than that, Google is doing shenanigans. They're basically, well, at least the sources indicate that they are planning a gaming platform to take on Microsoft, to take on Sony, to take on Nintendo. They want it to be a streaming platform. They're creating hardware for it, and they're already working on bringing in developers under Google. So they've been putting in some major recruiting and trying to acquire other company too. Other companies. And basically the people who have been talking about this have either been involved in the issue or know people who have been involved in the issue. And they did try to acquire Twitch before Amazon stepped in, so we had that there. So they've been thinking about this for a while.
Thank God that didn't happen.
The rumor was going on for a while that they wanted to do something based on Android, but that didn't happen either. So they're trying to push through other things. I mean, it's all been rumors before, but this one seems to have a lot more weight to it. So we'll see.
How about you support your fucking platforms you already have? Like my Android TV that hardly has any fucking apps on it. How about that shit?
Yeah, I can't help but when I hear like Google Gaming, my mind instantly goes to an Android console and I go like, oh, so they're going to make an Ouya?
No, it's not going to be an Ouya. I don't know.
The streaming platform right now is codenamed Yeti. So we'll see if there's any accuracy to it.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock it till I've tried it. You know, let's see what games, right? Right, Dark Sakura, golden rule of OLR. It's been a while since we've reminded the listeners about the golden rule of gaming. Dark Sakura, would you please educate the listeners of OLR what the golden rule of gaming is?
A system is only as good as the games that are on it.
That is correct.
With caveat. Mm. It also depends on how well those games play.
Mm.
Because after having played the same game on multiple consoles, some consoles will do it better.
Okay, fair enough.
Yep.
So in other words, PC is all you need because PC's going to do it. No, I'm just kidding.
Lately.
it depends on your setup, though. PC's gaming on PC is expensive. And I don't want to get into the console versus PC debate. I'm just being playful. You got to do what works for you at the end of the day. So.
Well, and I came to this conclusion actually watching one of my favorite YouTube channels, Battle of the Ports. As they talk about games that just look stellar on some consoles and play like shit. Mm-hmm. So, again, take all that into account.
Yep. Especially with so much being multi-console in this day and age, that's for sure.
Exactamundo.
Exactly. All righty. Let's move on. Loki, what do you have for us?
So, here's something kind of fun and something we've been asking for a while. It's like, why these consoles, these modern consoles, have USB ports in them. Why don't they support mouse and keyboard? Huh? Why don't they? No idea.
PlayStation 4 does if the game does it, because you can play Final Fantasy 14 with keyboard and mouse. I do it.
Well, that's nice, but I'm talking about like other games.
I know. But I'm just saying the system can support it. But for whatever reason, a lot of games, like Overwatch, won't allow it because Blizzard views that as like tipping the balance, or I don't know what the fuck their problem is. But that's, you know, they don't, they see that as an advantage over people playing on controller, I guess.
And separate it out. I don't know. That's stupid. But whatever. But anyways, Microsoft has actually been working with Razer to bring full mouse and keyboard support to the Xbox One. Apparently, there's been some leaked documents about a presentation where they've been creating some different devices to work with the Xbox One, citing, they said, the Turret and Black Widow devices, and even with Chroma light-up keys and whatnot. Funny enough, I actually just got a gaming PC, and or not PC, but a keyboard and mouse, because now we have, I set up a home office thing for my laptop. So I have a gamer mouse and keyboard now with that. I got a Corsair keyboard and a Razer mouse. So now I can try to do some mousey keyboard like everybody else instead of using a controller. It's unnatural for me, though, so I don't like it, but I'll try it. Interesting, though. It doesn't say any other details like when we might expect this, but I know they said basically, you know, Minecraft Bedrock Edition currently supports mouse and keyboard. And that's, you know, on all these platforms. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I would be very curious how many of you are interested in something like this. I always kind of thought when people want to use mouse and keyboard, they just go to, you know, their computer. You know, Xbox 360 also, because Final Fantasy XI also used keyboard.
Right.
Used keyboard. I don't know about mouse, but used keyboard. So, I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, I don't know. Like, for more of these, like, MMO-type games, maybe. Maybe if you really want to get competitive, like Overwatch or something like that, and all you have is a console, you can't afford, you know, to buy an expensive PC or something. Maybe at least you can drop money for a keyboard mouse and try to play better that way. I don't know.
All right, let's talk about sexy band games. Yay.
I love sexy band games.
All right, so what is the latest sexy band game? It's a game called Omega Labyrinth Z. It was a game that was released for the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation Vita, so you know I'm talking about Japan because it was Vita supported. This was a game, it's a dungeon crawler, I guess, but I mean, when you look at like the graphics and stuff, it doesn't look like a dungeon crawler.
What? That is official dungeon crawling garb right there. I am sorry, but
this schoolgirl's like F cup boobies are like, they're not just sticking out, they're sticking out and like going around her jacket.
That's not an F cup, Rob. As one, I can tell you that's not an F cup.
Oh my god. So, then what cup would that be?
That would be more like a
double Z.
No, they actually do make double G's.
It's H for hentai.
Okay, it's H. It's an H cup. H for hentai. I like that. All right, anyway. So apparently the localization of this game has been refused by Sony for North America and Europe. The game was being localized by P-Cube. It's a UK-based publisher. And then I guess the localization has been announced. It's been canceled. And they put in a little statement over on Twitter. Basically, they try to do Japanese content for its fans as close to the source material as possible. P-Cube tried to work with the relevant age rating bodies in their respective territories, and they have to comply with the wishes of the platform holder, and so they just withdrew it. So basically, the game was too slutty with people that are too young to be released.
Well, I mean,
they could have changed the age to everyone.
I guess that
to
just
19.
Sucks that these platforms are just, you know, have no region codes. I guess I'll just have to import it if they want.
It's all region free anyway. I don't know. Anyway, I guess also the Britain Video Standards Council refused a box release for the game in the UK back in March because the player touches certain points on a female character's body to arouse them. A successful action will activate a shame break where parts of their clothing come off, revealing more of their bodies.
Dude, they had shit like this on the 3DS. I don't understand what the problem is.
The player places honey on the girls' bodies, A fantastical dog-like creature then proceeds to lick the honey off of their bodies, which causes them to become aroused. I'm laughing because this is so fucking stupid. Like the previous minigame, when they reach a certain level of arousal, parts of their clothing fall off or vanish. As the dog licks at the honey, the girls respond with sexualized language. But of course, the main problem is that it takes place in a high school. And so that means the characters are probably not quite 18 or barely so. So
where is
yucko.
The labyrinth in like the dungeon crawling with this? Because like I'm so far, I'm hearing like there's a dog that's licking a
right?
girl. I mean, I'm not. Where's the dungeon crawling here?
By the way, in some of the screenshots, we see one female character saying to another, "You there, your skirt is too short. Fix it right now." And another one, a little fairy-type creature, is saying, "Eh, well, you have to stroke it between your breasts." Jamie, would you play this game?
Maybe.
Atta girl.
Why should I lie?
I think
they're ridiculous.
God forbid we represent, you know, women getting aroused by something, but let's just blow some fucking brains and have intestines falling out. That's okay.
Here's the thing. I get the age concern. I don't want to invalidate that. It is fucking creepy when it's high school kids and it's 16, 17. However, if upon localization of the game, maybe they could be, it's college and they're 20 years old, you know, it's a little bit like less creepy, then maybe, you know, some of these concerns would probably be eased up a little bit. I don't know.
It's also a cartoon. They're not alive. They don't have ages.
Anyway, I don't know. Anyway.
I think it's more of the connotation of it.
Yeah, perhaps.
But blow those brains away. That's fine. You know, showing.
It is ridiculous that people are far more concerned about violence than they are about. I'm sorry, far less concerned about violence than they are about sex or language. It's people are fucking stupid.
But if you want to play a game that oozes sexuality and femininity and is about adults, play Bayonetta. That's why I fucking love Bayonetta, because there is room for excessiveness and over-the-topness in video gaming. Not everything has to be, you know, like a legit story, you know, like Pulitzer Prize writing script thing. Like, for in every movie theater and every movie house and things, there's going to be campy films. There's going to be John Waters movies. There's going to be the types of movies that Elvira watches and Mystery Science Theater 3000 makes fun of. There's a place in art for that type of stuff, and that's where Bayonetta kind of fits.
Freaking
for me,
maybe
Elvira.
We can get John Waters a Telltale series.
I would. Why hasn't John Waters
Serial
tried
Mom,
to do a game?
A Telltale game?
Pink Flamingos, the live adventure. All right, anyway.
They should just do a game called The Quest for Eggs.
Over in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf says, "My wife walked in right when you were describing this. She's wondering what I'm actually listening to."
Come on, this isn't that strange.
My bad. Sorry about that.
For us.
I mean, she couldn't tell my insanely nasally over-the-top voice describing this. She couldn't tell it was me. Anyway, Dungeon Buster says, "This sounds like a trash game, but to each their own." Here's the thing, though. Sometimes you want trash. Like, can you explain to me why Taco Bell stays in business? Because, newsflash, the food ain't good. But sometimes you're craving trash. No. You're not craving Mexican food, because Taco Bell is not Mexican food. You're craving trash. Right?
Yes.
I had some friends that went to Waffle House for the first time today.
I fucking love Waffle House, and it's not trash.
Shout out to Extifer and Shane, who are on their adventure today. Sometimes you're craving trashy diner
Waffle
food.
Waffle House is not trashy food. It's delicious.
It's hangover food.
It is not.
I don't know. I could go for a waffle right now.
But you always have to order them well done, because they do make their waffles a little soggy.
All right. And SSG 100 Matt in chat says, "Wake me when a sleepaway camp game comes out."
Like, seriously, like, if they had a place that would offer, you know how, like, IHOP offers, like, unlimited pancakes? I want unlimited waffles. Where can I get unlimited waffles?
IHOW.
It's IHOB now.
No, it's
IHOB. Crap. No one goes to your stupid restaurant for burgers. Your burgers taste like shit. No one ever goes there.
Isn't that whole thing just a marketing stunt to get people to talk about it? Like, they're not actually changing their name.
I understand that, but like,
I think it was a whole stunt to bring out the sassiness of Wendy's.
But it's like, it's like, hey, we make some fucking bomb ass pancakes. Let's focus on these shitty ass fucking hamburgers that we make. Why would you do that? Why? To focus on the breakfast food. It's good. Your hamburgers, not so much.
Because the problem is, most of the IHOPs in America die between the hours of 1 p.m. and midnight. Because, well, I mean, once the bars are let out, then they start filling up again because people are like, oh, I'm drunk, I want pancakes.
Well, if I'm going during dinner time, I'm getting fucking pancakes because it's an IHOP. I'm not going there for fucking hamburgers. If I want a hamburger, I'll go to a million other places that are better than them, including McDonald's. And McDonald's isn't even food.
Speaking of trash, sometimes you crave trash.
Do
you know what they put in chicken nuggets? Trash.
They're so fucking delicious.
I know, but it is just as I thought, trash.
Their hamburgers, though, are not so great, but they are better than the IHOP's hamburgers.
Hey, when you're dead broke, you know, a dollar hamburger works.
Tiger Claw in chat says, do you know anyone that eats pancakes for lunch or dinner? Yeah.
I'm raising my hand.
Once in a blue
moon. I'm raising them both.
Dude, breakfast for dinner is bomb.
Like, yeah, it is.
You know what? OLR official challenge. I want everyone, including the host, I want everyone this week, to have breakfast for dinner. And send us your snaps at OLR over
Look,
on Twitter.
I do this shit without a challenge. I make omurice at night. You know what omurice is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the omelet over rice, mm-hmm. except I don't make it with ketchup because ketchup is disgusting. Mm-hmm. But I make omurice like regularly.
You don't have to go to IHOP. This is not a commercial for IHOP. You can make your own damn pancakes. Get out the Bisquick and make your own damn pancakes.
Got some fucking Bisquick.
I have the Birch Benders pancake mix, which is delicious, and craisins. Because it was amazing in their pancakes and chocolate chips.
And if you want a waffle, have a waffle.
Make that waffle, bitch.
Yeah, we got rid of our waffle irons.
I need a waffle iron.
Oh, my God. Why would you get rid of waffle irons?
Why not give it to me?
My wife didn't like them.
Do you want to borrow our Hello Kitty waffle maker?
No, it's cool. I don't need to make waffles like that. I mean, I might be able to make it work if I put it in.
Because I have a Hello Kitty waffle maker.
I have like one of those, like, it's not a George Foreman, it's a panini press. Maybe if put enough batter in there, it might make a weird looking like crinkle cut waffle or something.
Actually, the Foreman grills have a waffle tray. That's how
some
Alan
do.
Makes waffles. Yeah, ours have waffle
the
trays.
Nicer ones, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, we have a nice Foreman grill.
Whatever.
Rob, can I borrow your waffle maker?
Yeah.
Because I think my pancake batter works for waffles.
Okay. Work.
Cool.
All right.
At my work, though, in our cafe, we have self-serve waffles.
I wonder if
waffles.
I can make, like, put my protein powder in it and make protein waffles.
Speaking of breakfast, let's talk about eggs, Dark Sakura.
Eggman. Is it?
Eggs. It's the Eggman. I love my eggs. I love the Eggman. The sad thing is there's probably like two OLR listeners that will understand that reference whatsoever.
I know that reference. I've never seen the movie all the way through.
It's a Pink Flamingos reference for those who don't know, which I feel
Isn't
the
it
need.
Edith?
Yeah, it's Edith Massey's character. That she's like this old lady that sits in a crib the whole movie and she
eggs.
Loves eggs. Yeah, she loves the Eggman. She gets excited when she visits. See, you guys just don't understand. You don't understand.
You do need to watch. So seriously, though, they did this wonderful thing. I watch a lot of this channel, Red Letter Media. They did a retrospective on Pink Flamingos, and they really do go like and break down like all the details of the movie. So you got to totally watch it because it's awesome.
So it's like Game Theory, but for Pink Flamingos.
More like gaming historian
than like for Pink Flamingos.
But like they're filmmakers, so they go into like different techniques. And they even go like
what techniques?
Well, they talk about like how they film
what
different
techniques.
Okay,
I don't
not
know.
So much Pink
John
Flamingos.
Waters movies do have some very interesting film techniques, especially for the lower budget stuff, because you have to when you have no budget like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you want to see some interesting cinematography. Fucking watch Crybaby.
MXC in chat says, Edith Massey for life. I love her in Desperate Living. Okay, you got points for me for referencing Desperate Living because, I mean, you have a hard enough time finding people who've actually seen Pink Flamingos. Then try to see who's seen Desperate Living because that was like the one John Waters movie that Divine wasn't in. And so it's like even less people have seen that somehow. But that movie is incredible. Anyway.
I fucking love Divine.
Anyway, sorry.
Rest in peace.
Eggs.
Okay, so and I'm sure everyone knows this because I've seen it all the fuck over Facebook, but I figured it had to be mentioned. Jim Carrey has been in negotiations with Paramount to play Eggman, as in Dr. Robotnik from Sonic the Hedgehog. And yes, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie is going to be a combination of live action CG. It sounds like a fucking train wreck, but we'll see. It has James Marsden in it and Tika Sumpter, being directed by Jeff Fowler. We'll fucking see. I mean, I guess he could play a pretty good Eggman. I kind of see him being able to, just given the range of comedic roles that he's played, and he would definitely play a funny kind of evil. So it makes sense to me, but at the same time, I'm just still kind of like, huh?
I'm down. I'm down for any train wreck starring Jim Carrey.
But you're a big Jim Carrey fan.
I am a big Jim Carrey fan. I'll watch anything that he's in.
That's where Loki comes from. Sometimes people think it's the Marvel character, but you actually got your name from the mask.
From the mask.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny.
Well, I was thinking Norse god, you know, before, not referencing Marvel, but.
Nope, Jim Carrey. Anyway. No, I'll check it out. Why not? I'm with some of the chatters that are like, let's see a trailer. Let's see some footage before we come to a conclusion on that.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel.
I want to know where they're going to get the Mario and Luigi voices from for the Mario Brothers movie that they're doing over on the others. That the people that did Despicable Me are doing that Mario movie, right? Because that's why we're getting Mario Land at Universal Studios. They're going to do a movie as well, so. Kind of curious.
We'll see. Actually, speaking of Mario movies, have you ever seen the anime that came out in the 80s where Luigi has like the blue and yellow outfit?
I don't think I have.
The whole fucking thing is on YouTube. Oh. And it's bad. It is not good, but it's hilarious.
Yeah. I'm good with hilariously bad. All right. Just a few more stories before we get into the hilariously awesome classic peripheral of the month, Loki.
Yes. So my kids are bugging me again today when we went to GameStop to look at, well, we just killed time before we went grocery shopping, but they wanted to buy Labo stuff. And I said, no, because it's $80 and fuck that shit. And they said, and they're like, why? I'm like, well, you're going to break it and it's going to be all over the house. And that's why you can't have it. But this is something interesting, though. So if you like arcade games, you can get your own arcade cabinet that's cardboard for the Nintendo Switch. It's only $20. It's coming out November 27th, coming out from Nyko. And it's this cute little cabinet that you can put your Joy-Cons in. They even have little like joystick add-ons for your analog sticks. And yeah, it looks like you can customize it. They have sticker sheets with pixels on them. They can make a little pixel art. It's $20. It's way better than $80. So that's good.
I like that they're kind of branching out and doing more stuff with the Labo.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. So, and this is kind of neat, too. Now, this is something else for, like, arcade fans, too. You may remember that they're getting a lot of different games that have vertical screen support. So, like, Ikaruga, for example. The arcade archives Donkey Kong was another thing. So, now there's this Kickstarter for an accessory for the Switch called the Flip Grip. And the Flip Grip allows you would actually put the screen in a vertical orientation and be able to snap the Joy-Cons in there as well. So you can play vertical games without having to balance the screen really funky in order to actually make that happen. So that's pretty cool. Basically, it says right now, let's see what they've got left on it. So they had quite a bit to go in the campaign. And I think you didn't have to pledge too much to actually get one of these. So they're still, they've hit their goal. So they had 7 days to go right now. They're $109,000 of $42,000. So they've made it there. If you want one of these Flip Grips, you can pay $12. And they're estimating they're going to deliver those on sometime in 2018. It looks like November. So neat.
All right, well, if all that expansion in the Labo universe and associated universe wasn't enough, guess what? Now Nintendo Labo products can be used with actual Switch games. Yeah, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was patched this week to be compatible with Nintendo Labo, so you can actually use the little, like, motorcycle type of little thing that you can make out of the Labo little motorcycle head. You can now use that as like an official controller type in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Huh.
So because Mario Kart also lets you do motorcycles. Some people forget it's not just carts, but you can do motorcycles in that game. So it's pretty legit. So, yeah, motion controls, cardboard button presses, all of that will work. So that's kind of fun. So you can do that. And Nintendo says it's not going to stop there. Nintendo has said there will be more. It is the first game outside of Nintendo Labo to receive Toy-Con support, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is. More titles will be compatible with Nintendo Labo in the future. Please look forward to it.
Neat.
Yeah. Kind of neat. I mean, I don't want to fill my house up with all this fucking cardboard, but I like that there's, you know, options, and who knows? Maybe something will be really compelling where I've got to try it. We'll see.
I'm wondering if it would be possible to laminate all that cardboard or to seal it with, like, some sort of resin.
Maybe.
That would give it some sort of permanence.
How about a music game that actually uses that piano? Keyboard Mania on the Switch. Make
there
it
was
happen.
Someone that was actually an indie game that was doing that.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know.
That would be awesome. I would love that. Yeah. So, all right. And JD in chat says, I wish I could buy the piano separately. I bet, you know, if they start releasing stuff like that, maybe you will be able to. Maybe you'll be able to buy the motorcycle stuff separately. I mean, this is just, where Labo's
like,
at
it
now.
It should
but
be like half the price. I mean, it just honestly is really expensive.
I'm kind of surprised Nintendo isn't putting out a little more for the holidays.
It's fucking cardboard. Like, I get the game took some development and everything, but, dude, come on. It's fucking cardboard.
I know. Here we are back to the debate from several weeks
and
ago.
And actually, to your point,
months
though.
Ago.
No, no. To the point, though, if you are looking for just the piano or something like that, and you can find a used copy of the game, you could do that. Because, remember, they do sell each of the pieces separately. You can buy the replacement parts. I just don't know if you can find it used.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about an old school peripheral. You know, back when your peripherals were not made out of cardboard. They were made out of other stuff. It's the classic game of the week, and every week Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, "Hey, you little brats, you should be checking this out, or you could just go kick rocks." Anyway, once a month, Dark Sakura does the classic peripheral of the month. Since we weren't here last week, which would have been the end of June, Dark Soccer's behind on the peripherals. So tonight is actually June's peripheral. Yes, I know it's July 1st, but we're just going to ask you to deal with it. So, Dark Soccer, what is the classic peripheral of the month?
I chose the Rez Trans Vibrator. Which
great
means...
Great pick.
Contrary to popular parody, the trans vibrator was really not intended to be a sex toy. Sorry, kids. Even though Screw Attack ranked it as the number one best gaming peripheral because of that reason, there was a whole article about it. It was actually pretty funny. But anyway, one of the points for Rez was to bring about the sense of synesthesia. And if you don't know what synesthesia is, it actually is something that people like me who have autism or are autistic experience. Not everyone does, but some of us do. It's where one set of sensations trigger another section. Almost like, for example, people who say they can taste colors. The theory is that there are receptors in their brain that process color goes through their taste sensation area as well.
Is that similar to that ASMR stuff where, ew, like you kind of hear somebody, like, you know, playing with the or like the lady eating the pickles really slowly in the video, right, in the microphone, right, that whole like crunch, people like feel the tingles in their neck? Is that similar to that?
It's similar but not quite. Like, okay, there's a type of synesthesia. I was actually watching a thing about it where this one particular person perceives numbers as patterns. So it actually triggers like a pattern sense. You know how people can usually pick up patterns and things? It triggers a pattern sense, and he can do almost any math thinkable without having any background training or any advanced mathematics studies, just by paying attention to the patterns that form in his brain. He can recite pi practically to infinity. He did it to, like, I want to say 100 points. It was pretty crazy. Now, me, I do have synesthesia myself. For me, it triggers anything that has to do with writing, reading, and sound. Anything that has to do with that all goes through my spatial awareness myself. So I get a sense of architecture with things that I read or things that I listen to. That's why I can't listen to some things, because it will just make me feel like I'm claustrophobic. Seriously. So back to the transvibrator. It is. It's supposed to add to this experience of synesthesia, where you have this device that provides haptic feedback. It's an early experiment. I'd say into more recent technology that uses haptic feedback. I mean, our Apple Watches, Rob, haptic feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, it was requested by Mizuguchi when he was designing the game and wanting to do. He was actually going through the arcade division, that they wanted cockpit chairs that would vibrate in time with the music. And even though that didn't come about, he wanted to also use the DualShock controller for haptic feedback in Res as well, but it wasn't strong enough. So he went to ASCII to design a peripheral that would function like the DualShock but be stronger. And so in the special package version of the PlayStation 2 release of Res, it included a USB haptic feedback called a transvibrator, which is about a mouse-sized peripheral that pulses in time with music. And it was designed to either be held or put in a pocket, or some people would sit on it. You know, it had a pouch on it, and the pouch could be cleaned, by the way, so it was meant to be hygienic. But you could get a closer sense of synesthesia. It wasn't true synesthesia, but it engaged another sense to go along with the playing and interacting with the game. And again, people will almost turn anything into something sexual, because of course they will, and so there were all the parodies around that came with that.
Like putting it in your vagina!
Yeah, but not. At any rate, it also is compatible, though, with two other games. One of them is with Space Channel 5 Part 2, and another with the Japanese version of Disaster Report. They did do some aftermarket versions. You can still buy them on aftermarket retailers. There are some third-party versions of the same thing. And they go for about $60, depending on where you find it. They also did reverse engineer the transvibrator, so now they have PC drivers out for it, so that you can. Now, it was for Windows XP and Windows 2000, but I'm sure that other people have updated those drivers for current systems. And on top of that, a guy named Sam Hokevar, if I pronounce that right, wrote a driver for the Linux kernel. So now it works on Linux. Which makes me think that we would be able to have. There's got to be Mac drivers for it too, because, I mean, they're both Unix, so whatever. And then while the Transvibrator never had any other kind of re-release, and they made a nod to it in Res HD, where you can use up to three additional controllers to add that transvibration function back into the game. And I know I've been trying to avoid peripherals that are used for very specific purposes, even though I've done the twin sticks, because other games will use the twin sticks. But this one is so iconic because...
It really is.
Because, first of all, the major demand for it that was out at the time. And even now, people still go for it. I mean, I wouldn't mind. It's one thing I don't have in my collection. But there are people, who just immediately think of that and either think of the screw attack joke, LOL, haha, dildo. Or, think of it in terms of that collecting thing. And there's usually general, oh, I remember that, not the, that.
Yeah.
So... I think it's worthy enough to be on the peripheral of the month list.
And I like that they've tried to emulate it since then. Like when they did Res on the 360, like the controller would kind of vibrate. And you could, you put the extra controllers. And I guess some people are talking about how Luminous Remastered kind of does something with it on the Switch.
It really did set a precedence for that, because now, if you think about it too, we were already sort of having things like this in theaters, like with Captain EO, remember?
Oh, yeah.
You'd feel the music through your chair.
4D.
Right. And there's been a concept that's been around for a while, but we never really had anything like that incorporated into our games pretty much until this game.
Yeah.
I mean, there were others that tried. I mean, there was also, like, Sega on the Saturn, there were some fucking weird-ass games, like the ones where it was all meant to be played without the screen, you played it by sound. Or the one that, like, grows your flowers, grows seeds while you're playing the damn game. You know, weird stuff like that that tried to engage other things. But this was really the one that really brought that sensory feedback into, I think, modern gaming.
All right. There it is, your classic peripheral of the month, the Rez Transvibrator.
The dildo. Oh. Whatever.
We're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere, guys. We've got plenty more OLR to come, including your emails, some rapid-fire news, and your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, and more gaming news, including a story about the latest going-ons in the PUBG legal drama, and some changes in the next Mega Man collection, the Mega Man X collection. We'll talk all about all of that when we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live, episode number 736 in progress for this July 1st of 2018. And as we said at the top of the show, happy Canada Day to all of our friends up north. Hope you guys had a good day. And I know this week would be the 4th of July for those of us down here in the States. A nice day off of work. I don't know if you guys have anything fun planned or if you're going to set off fireworks, or as my mom used to call it, you might as well just set the money on fire. It's just as effective as those safe and sane fireworks are. Loki, you seem like a fireworks kind of guy. Are you going to buy some fireworks and set them off?
No,
for kids?
I'm too smart to not buy those fireworks anymore.
Those lame safe insane.
They're just garbage. Yeah. It's just, you might as well forget it.
Jamie, you and Dan used to buy some and set them off. Are you doing that this year? Or?
No, because I have to go to bed at 8 o'clock because I have to work at 5 a.m. the next day.
Oh, yeah.
So I am going to be using my noise-canceling earplugs.
There you go.
And my light-canceling eye mask. And
to cancel the world out.
And furthermore, with the current state of this country, I don't think there's anything we're celebrating. So
yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah,
nothing to celebrate. We have now completely turned away from what this country was founded to be. So fuck them.
We should celebrate everybody who registers to vote. That's what we should be celebrating. So,
yes, if you live in the United States and you also are completely disgusted with what's going on, don't just sit on your ass and fucking complain about it. Register the fuck to vote. And if you have registered to vote, I would like to see you go in
and actually vote.
Besides that, too. But go on Twitter and just post OLR says vote.
All right.
Make a tag of it. OLR says vote.
All right.
I'll be looking for you.
OLR says.
I might even send you a Pride Edition Cards Against Humanity glitter pack.
Oh, God. Did you get the ones with glitter?
I bought
in
five
it?
Of them.
I love it. All right, let's get into it. OLR says it's time for rapid fire news. Or, oh, as Bobby Blackwolf says in chat, an old slogan, vote or P. Diddy will kill you. Vote or D. S.E. will kill you. Anyway, I just realized Dark Sakura has the same initials as a 3DS. Anyway, so you up to your interpretation if a Nintendo system will kill you or if Dark Sakura will. Anyway, let's get into some rapid fire news.
I'm sneakier.
Loki.
It's that time of the year. It's the beginning of a new month, which means there's more new free games you get for paying for online. So starting with PlayStation Plus, in July, we're getting Heavy Rain and Absolver on PlayStation 4. PlayStation 3 is getting Rayman 3 HD and Deception 4, The Nightmare Princess. And on the Vita, Space Overlords and Zero Escape, Zero Time Dilemma. So that's pretty awesome. I don't know if there's any others that are cross-play. Don't see any, so we'll have to take it from there. And then, of course, on the Microsoft side of things, for the Xbox One, for the whole month of July, you'll be getting Assault Android Cactus for free. And then from the second half, or from the halfway point in July through the halfway point in August, Death Squared will be free. And then as part of the Xbox 360 and also compatible with Xbox One, Virtua Fighter 5, The Final Showdown is going to be coming July 1st through the 15th, and Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Conviction for the second half of July. All right. And then, in case you're living under a rock, there is a new Overwatch character, and it is a hamster in a giant ball. That's a death machine. So Hammond, or Wrecking Ball, I guess is going to be the character's name. is the new tank character in the game. And he shoots stuff. He rolls around in a ball. He has a grappling hook. It's all the things that you want in a robot hamster ball. And I'm down. It looks awesome.
I fucking love Hammond, or as they call it, Wrecking Ball's the actual game, but Hammond. The little Cam. Little Ham.
Ham Taro.
I love it. So, yeah, super cute. I love what people are doing on Twitch, too, with, like, the races and things like that. Like, they're racing the little balls on the map. It's adorable.
I've saw some where there's people just spinning around stuff.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, I haven't played the public test realm yet for this new character, but, yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I can't wait to try it.
Did you see the Overwatch cartoon that someone made where the cat has a mecha?
No.
It was pretty funny. I found it on Facebook.
There was, you know, I remember Blizzard from one of their panels from an old BlizzCon or something showed all these Overwatch characters that didn't make the cut because they brainstormed a ton. Because there was one based off of that one, I don't remember the name of the movie. It's one of those Kung Fu movies and it has the older lady with the curlers in her hair.
Like, oh, Kung Fu Hustle?
Yeah, was that it? And so, they had a character that was basically her that they cut, unfortunately. But they also had Jetpack Cat.
That's awesome.
So it's like, okay, if fucking we got hamster ball, jetpack
cat. We need
to
go full on, you know, crazy. Just all of this shit that you said, nah, it's too crazy. No, bring it all back.
That's right.
We need to make this President Cat level.
That's right.
Canvassing.
President Jetpack Cat. All right. If somebody at Blizzard really loves me, they'll make that President Jetpack Cat, or he's got to be the president or something. Anyway, let's move on. So one of the reasons I was out last week is, again, I was in Chicago, and I was going to Pride in Chicago, just like Dark Sakura was at San Francisco Pride.
Right? I marched in Pride. Yes, it was amazing.
Well, sadly, the Pride event we weren't at was Seattle. But to be fair, there were lots of Pride events all around the country last week and throughout the month of June, and some have them at different time of the year, just depending on what's going on in your town. But the reason why I bring it up, and yes, it is video game related, because at the Seattle Pride Parade, Nintendo actually marched in the parade, as did Niantic. Nintendo actually had these stickers they were giving away that said "Play It Proud," and they had little rainbows on them. The employees are giving out the sticker, and I think that's really cool. So we actually saw some tweets out there from some of the employees at Nintendo, including Jose Otero and Bill Trennan. So, yeah, that's really cool. I wish I could have seen that, but I bet some of you in Seattle did. And, you know, I know that the whole, like, corporations with rainbow logos and kind of jumping in on Pride Month, I know it's a little bit controversial because some people kind of feel like, oh, they just show up for Pride Month and try to get the gay dollars and they run away. But you know what? I remember a time when nobody wanted to touch these issues. So, I mean, it kind of warms my heart in many ways to see, like, Nintendo with rainbow flags and employees, like, marching in the parade, because that's awesome. Because, you know, I remember a time in my life when I turned to video games because I kind of didn't think there was anything else. So, you know, let's have a moment here. All right. Anyway. Moving from a serious topic like that to a less serious topic, but apparently very serious for some people, and that would be the exclusion of Waluigi from Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. He's a support character, I suppose. Apparently, Reggie Fils-Aimé has been asked about it in an interview with Vice. Jesus Christ, this is the level of fuckery we've gotten to. And Reggie Fils-Aimé said, "Clearly Nintendo does not hate Waluigi." Reggie is on record, you guys. Nintendo does not hate Waluigi. Stop it.
They have to add more characters as it goes along. I mean, this isn't the full roster that they announced, obviously.
But basically, he's pushed it off on Sakurai because it's his game, saying, "Mr. Sakurai will be aware of the groundswell of support that appeared for Waluigi. And in the end, it's his decision to make."
They will bring him in there. He'll be a character by the time the game comes out.
Or DLC.
He'll be in the roster, I think.
But he's an assist trophy right now. Are they going to have to take out that assist trophy? Because you don't have characters that are also assist trophies.
I'm sure they can remove the assist trophy.
It's Waluigi. He can do anything.
I like that. That's a good perspective.
I also found, by the way, that everything that I thought about his name is actually accurate, that it is the pun that I thought it was.
Mm.
Because Wadui means bad or sick. And so in the G part would be like for person. So he just means his name means bad person.
Ranma in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says Waluigi is trash. Fuck him. Go away, Waluigi. No one likes you. Wow. The views and opinions expressed in our chat room do not reflect those of VOG Network or ourselves here. So that's some powerful words.
I just think
words.
It's funny that he has a thing for Daisy and she's like, bitch, no.
To which I say, Rama, to which I say, wah. That stupid noise is never going to get old.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, butcher.
What are you drinking over there? You're
I
very
mixed
satisfied.
The last of my blackberries in with the orange juice and I did steal a little bit of that coconut water.
Yeah.
Made myself my own little delicious cocktail and I get to eat blackberries when I'm done.
She just mixed a little bit of everything. Actually, it's kind of a purple drink. I think I would call that a Waluigi.
I'll take a picture of it. You all know because it's actually delicious and doesn't make me sick.
An official Waluigi drink here at OLR. All right. Then you just have to add a little bit of vodka to top it off. All right.
Well, you know, oh, by the way, I did finish another infused vodka.
I know. I saw the pictures of rose petals, right?
I'd made rose petal vodka, and I would be willing to share it with people if they're interested.
Wah. Let's move on. Dark Sakura, before you take pictures, you got to do some rapid-fire news stories of your own.
Well, I just took the picture because I can fucking multitask like a bitch. So anyway. Also, Nintendo is doing some good things for us. Well, they've already done it, and it's probably already sold out by now. But they brought back the NES Classic Edition on June 29th, so 2 days ago from today. They've released it for $59.99, just like when it released in November 2016. Has all the same consoles on it, like, you know, Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, Pac-Man. And the SNES Classic Edition is still in production, but good luck finding them. I mean, seriously, I've heard from some people who said that they found them, like, at, you know, Walmart, which I don't support, and other stores, so you may still be lucky. So if you want it, go and get it while you can. And I have the final totals for Summer Games Done Quick, which I watched the shit out of. I saw the countdown when they were trying to reach 2 million. It was pretty epic. The total donation amount was $2,128,069, and that is over 35,000 people donating. The average donation by people was about $60 a donation.
Wow.
I donated. Dan and I did. And I would actually like to say that when we go up for Awesome Games Done Quick, I was actually thinking of putting it out there to our listeners of starting like a small fund so that we could do a mass donation in the name of Orange Lounge Radio.
Oh, donate so we can
or
donate.
VOG.
Donate so we can donate big.
Exactly. You know,
interesting.
And I would encourage everyone to do, you know, the little bit here and there. But I think that if we start accumulating the donations, we can make out that one big massive check.
So that we can ensure that the animals will be killed on the space.
No, I save the animals.
So we can ensure.
I like to see that little pixel fly off the planet.
The animals will be killed.
No, save the animals.
Save the frames.
Save the animals. You're a terrible human being.
All right, yeah. JD says, where would you accept donations to that wouldn't take a percentage fee? My hand. No, give me money in my hand.
I'll work
hand.
On it.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, Dark Soccer's going to work on it.
All right.
Meanwhile, let's travel the world and check out some release dates, Loki.
There's not much. I mean, honestly, July is usually a very dead month when it comes to game releases. So we've got two. We've got Runbow coming out on Nintendo Switch, and then your pun title of the week, Red Faction Guerrilla, the Remastered Edition. That's on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's it.
All right. Well, let's see what the news is like in Japan. On July the 5th on PlayStation 4, Zankai Zero is out, as well as a classic edition of Far Cry 3. And that's really it for Japan this week on the PlayStation 4. PlayStation Vita also gets that Zankai Zero, as well as a game called 7 Days, not to be confused with The Ring. It's actually called 7 Days. Anata 2 Soguso Nanokakan comes out. I didn't realize that on the Vita in the U.S., did you know next week on the Vita in the U.S., good old OLR favorite title, Muv Love, is coming out.
Hooray.
In the U.S. We're getting our. It's that same company that got denied the translation we were talking about earlier.
Joy anyway. Plus Rapture.
Nothing on the Switch this week. It is a quiet week on the Switch in Japan. So there's your Japanese releases. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
On the 3rd, and really the 3rd is the only day with stuff coming out, we have Jurassic World Evolution for Xbox and PlayStation. We had Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered, again, same consoles. And also on those same consoles is Warhammer 40K Inquisitor Martyr. That is it. Symphony.
All right, let's get to the mailbag.
We'll have to read fast, too.
Because every week you guys send us emails. And sometimes we read them. I have hiccups. I'm just going to turn it over to Jamie. I hate Radio Guy's biggest nightmare is hitting me right now. So, Jamie, take it away. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com.
I'm going to be reading fast because Jamie's got to go because she's got work in the morning. Hi, guys. Just wanted to bring up a few things from last episode that kind of struck a nerve with me. This is kind of a long email. Sorry. Regardless, I still have been a fan of the show for years, and I will continue to listen.
Uh-oh.
First thing, I hope I didn't hear the wrong way, and clarify if I am, but Darksucker mentioned the kiss included in Last of Us Part 2 is some sort of tokenism. I see it as growth of the character. In Last of Us Left Behind, we saw Ellie lose her best friend, who in the end realized she had feelings for. The writing and the performances felt incredibly natural, and it wasn't shoehorned in. I feel like this writing was present in the Last of Us Part 2 trailer as well, and Left Behind has earned the believability of her sexuality, and her sexuality isn't pointed out in an obnoxious way throughout the entirety of The Last of Us. My question to this is, what is the right way of presenting LGBT characters in a trailer, and is it any representation of LGBT in a big event like E3 tokenism? First of all, I've never played Last of Us, so I don't have any idea about the character story, and kind of don't give a shit because I don't want to play Last of Us. Not interested in it.
But to be fair, you did call it tokenism.
I said it seemed like tokenism, or if I called it tokenism, it's more that I thought it seemed like it, because on the surface, you know, it seems like something that a big company is going to do is throw a bone to try to attract a more diverse audience.
Right.
You know.
Here's the thing.
I wouldn't put it past Sony.
I haven't played the games either because I'm just not big on scary zombie type games, right?
Same here.
However, I was aware because we talked about it a couple, or I don't know if it was a year or two ago when that DLC came out. I remember the big reveal about her sexuality in the DLC.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I know that this is something that's been, and as the emailer kind of points out, it was developed then. And so that's why, to me, I'm kind of like, okay, I mean, this isn't just like, surprise, everybody's gay. Like, this isn't like that type of thing. So I think what they did was appropriate, but that's a personal perspective. Again, I'm not a lesbian.
I'm also ace, so I don't really see what the fuck point there is that any type of romantic subplot's going to add to a game anyway. It's just, I mean, okay, I like it for Mass Effect, because for me, that's like 50% of BioWare games is who you're going to romance. But the same thing anyway is just, I'm actually really a lot more as of late, why does there have to be fucking romance involved in the game anyway?
Well, just to kind of put the email in perspective, I think, as part of this, because I think this is written respectfully, and, you know, they say up front they're a fan. What if the next, let's say the next big reveal is Mass Effect 4.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Mass Effect 4 trailer, they show Shepard is back magically somehow, space magic. Shepard is back, and Shepard makes out with Kaden in the trailer. Is that going to be tokenism?
Well, no, because you can also pick whoever you fucking romance in a Mass Effect game.
Okay, fair. So there is that choice involved.
And besides that, my Shepard is always female, so I instantly thought FemShep.
Okay, so if FemShep makes out with Liara in the trailer, is that tokenism?
Well, Liara is technically big orgy. Agendered.
Yeah. How about they all have sex with everybody? Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, anyway.
But no, my thought, it's because, again, I don't play that game. I don't know that game.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really been interested in that game.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that's been in development, that's great. I just think that if it's something that was expected, then that's one thing. And I'll take it back in the case of this game. But if they, like, say, introduce a new game and they have two girls kissing, that, if we don't have any context around it, then it can seem very much like, oh, by the way, gay stuff. Come on, people.
So it's kind of like the corporate logos in Rainbow. It's not about...
Yeah, it's like the corporate logos in Rainbow.
Exactly. Put up or shove it up type of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't have a Rainbow logo and then donate to...
Now that I, you know a little bit more about the character, then that's fine. I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Okay.
It's clearly not tokenism in that case. But if it was just like random trailer, new game, if Anthem had two girls making out while two boys are making out, and then two completely weird tentacle aliens are making out that are clearly of whatever the gender is in their particular species.
Yes.
That would seem a little bit, by the way, Rainbow logos, come on.
BioWare loves you gays.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I mean, to be fair, I get the perspective kind of you're coming from as well. So, yeah.
Okay. Second, why is everyone comparing games to other things? It's kind of annoying to me. Starlink isn't as open as No Man's Sky and has a narrative present throughout the trailers. It has very little semblance to it, and I don't think it's fair to compare games to others. This affected games like Battleborn, for example, which had MOBA gameplay, unlike Overwatch. Even then, if something is similar to another game, it can present competition and iteration, which can improve the gaming industry. For example, Fortnite and PUBG, which are two different games of the same genre, are Tomb Raider and Uncharted. People like to have, though, I mean, and this is something that I learned because I'm honestly not a big fan of comparisons, you know, along those lines. But at the same time, people like to link it to something that's familiar to them.
Exactly. It's how we tend to describe things. Like, if I were to say, like, I have to do this all the time. Like, we'll be out playing Pokemon Go, and then I'm like, hold on, I got to switch to Ingress real fast. What's Ingress? How do you play Ingress? And I have to kind of catch myself going, well, it's kind of like Pokemon Go, even though in the back of my head I'm like, it's actually nothing like Pokemon Go. But, like, that's how this person is going to know it, because they play Pokemon Go. So at least they're going to understand how the real world kind of locations play into it. So I think sometimes you kind of, like, have to compare to be able to explain something to someone. But really, the best way to know it is to try it your damn self.
Well, and see, it's sort of like the same thing for me. Like, if I go on Facebook, okay, and say, you know, I hate marshmallows. And someone goes, well, I love marshmallows, and I hate this, this, and this. I'm like, well, what the fuck do those other things have to do with the fact that marshmallows are fucking disgusting?
Well, here's the thing. I love marshmallows, well, but you have every right to hate them, because I also know that you have your thing.
I hate it.
I hate mayonnaise.
I hate ketchup. And you like it.
Do you know what the perfect solution is to this problem, Dark Sakura?
You can have the marshmallows and I'll have the mayonnaise.
Oh my God. If only we knew how to solve all of our problems this way.
Oh, I thought it was, you know, putting mayonnaise inside of marshmallows.
No.
Even that. Now, given I grew up, and if you ever watch Emmy Made in Japan, she tried this. I grew up eating mayonnaise on pears. It's a southern thing.
I will take the marshmallows. You may have the mayonnaise.
But marshmallows are disgusting, and so is ketchup. Anyway, third, Sony have been releasing games in the spring and summer seasons rather than the fall and winter seasons lately. They're less likely to have more games this year after E3. They released God of War and Detroit Become Human this year, and will have Spider-Man in September. Those are some big games. Hopefully Dreams can have a beta in winter and release in the spring. I do agree, however, that their games are becoming similar to that Uncharted / The Last of Us third-person cinematic stealth action gameplay formula. To be honest, I'm not that interested in their lineup either. Death Stranding especially looks incredibly dull to me as someone who hasn't played the Metal Gear Solid games. Once again, I really like listening to the show every week. I look forward to the discussion. That's from Multi. Thank you for a very good and well-thought-out and actually decently grammared email.
And I think you are right on the Sony thing about how they have a lot of these similar types of games, but it does well for them. I mean, look how well received Uncharted and Last of Us and those games do. Like, people want more of it, so that's what Sony's delivering.
They latch on to what's going to make the money.
I did want to read one comment from our chat. I know you're trying to run through these, Dark Soccer, but I think this is a really good response to the whole tokenism thing. So JD in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com said, it's hard to get actual LGBT representation without romance. We're more than who we love, but there's a long tradition of not showing that as a means of erasing us. That's a very interesting perspective and kind of right. Like, is there a way to be lesbian, gay, without having to, or transgender, let's say? Because remember in...
transgender is not a sexuality, though.
It's not, but here's my point. Because Mass Effect Andromeda caught a lot of shit because you had that character that
who
was like
dead named herself.
I'm transgender. Look at me. I'm transgender. And I'm going to do all these things that a transgender person actually would never do.
I do know. I have a couple of trans friends who will just be upfront about it. You may have known me as this, or if we were in the same circles, you might've known this name. That was me then. You know, I've known people who've said that,
but usually
but
they
the
were people
time.
That you knew
or that you might people were, that I knew.
Right, as they were going through this transition, yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, you're correct. No one's really going to dead name themselves. No.
Anyway, I don't want to drag it out, but I just thought that was a really good point from JD.
But also, though, my thing, too, is though, and I'm not referring necessarily to romance in the case of it being a gay romance. I have a thing. It just seems like romance has become such an integral part to any game or movie or book. People have to be fucking or something or falling in love. And I'm like, can't you have a relationship in a book or a movie or a game that is based on really strong friendship?
Or how about something where the thing you learn to love is yourself? Because if you can't love yourself,
how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get amen up in here?
Next email.
Okay. I've been listening to the show for a while, and I was wondering, who is this Ranma? By the way, it's R-A-N-M-A, just letting you know. This is also from another Jamie, which is great. I don't have a nickname on here, though. Guy that calls in when you open the Skype lines, you all seem to be friends and have some history. I have no idea of if I even said his name correctly, LOL. Explain this person, LOL. By the way, I've listened to damn near every gaming podcast, and OLR feels like home base for me. I look forward to hearing you all every week. Oh, thank you, Name Twin.
Thank you.
Ranma has been our buddy for an age. He's been there practically since the beginning. You know, through the Live 365 era, yeah. He's been with us for an age. He's been out here. We've gone to conventions. Mm-hmm.
He has his own show called Anime Jam Session with his buddies.
Yes. And he's just a really awesome guy. And on top of that...
And he needs to not pay his friends money to write emails about him. No, I'm kidding. No. I'm totally kidding. I'm kidding.
But we've become really just good friends anyway. I mean, I'd consider him part of our family here.
Oh, for sure.
And the
thing is, emailer, before we did not know Ranma before this show. We know Ranma and many people that call in, not just Ranma, but many of the regulars. You know, we love our regulars. We love new people, too. Everybody should feel free to call in and participate. It's for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's where every gamer has a voice. But like, there are so many people that we have met and become friends with and do feel like family because of this show. And it is a feeling I can't really describe.
We find our tribe.
We've created this thing. Yeah, right? We find our tribe. I like that. We sure do. That's a good note to end that on.
Yeah, we have one last email. Merry evening, peoples. By the way, this is Redertainment. I've noticed an odd thing in an article posted by an outlet. Sky has stated he has reservations about Polygon. Hold on, let me find the article real quick. So the article here is the 7-year-old Sims mobile game is being pulled from Chinese app stores. The headline of the story leads with the game being removed from Chinese app stores, but the other 6 countries affected by this are predominantly Muslim countries. Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Oman, Kuwait, Qatar, and Egypt. The article also cites a source from a company manager from EA that the game is being removed for regional standards. Speculation among fans is that the content is being removed. I skipped to the same line again. Okay. Speculation among fans is that the content is being removed because of regional standards in Muslim countries. I'd like to join that speculation. It is my honest belief that this game was pulled from the app stores that serve predominantly Muslim countries because the game no longer meets the regional standards of those countries. The removal of the game from Chinese app stores at the same time may just be coincidence. Anyway, the point of me sending this email, why lead with the game being removed from Chinese app stores when the game is being removed from many countries, app stores, most of whom are majority Muslim? Isn't the game being removed from the app store of majority Muslim countries the lead? Bottom line, Sky is correct to distrust articles from Polygon. Yes, Sky is correct. Pause to allow for gloating. Stay black, Redertainment.
I distrust headlines from a lot of places.
Same here.
You know, articles are not right, or, you know, most websites are not writing articles with headlines to accurately reflect what's in the story anymore. They're writing headlines to get you to click on Facebook. I mean, that's the reality. So, you know, U.S. versus China is very in right now, thanks to all this talk about tariffs and all this stuff you see on the national news. I'm not going to get into politics, but that's the reality, is U.S. versus China is super in right now. So I think that's what you're seeing with some of that. You know, as much as I don't want to give this particular website credit, I will, because I'm a fair person. To be fair, the population of China is much bigger than any other country in the world. So it is fair to kind of lead off with China because it is the most populated. But I think an accurate headline would have been game is removed.
They're a larger world power.
Game was removed from 8 countries or whatever the total number was. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the total number, but may have been a more accurate reflection of what's going on. But anyway, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, also realize that on most websites, the author of the article does not write the headline. The editor does after reading the article. That's a very good point. JD also brings up, it might also be that China has its own internet and therefore its own app store. So some thoughts from our chatters. Any other emails, or was that it?
That was it. And on that note, I will bid everyone a fond adieu for the evening.
Well, thanks for being here as always, Dark Soccer. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
I'm going to fucking eat another one of these chocolates. And I don't care how sick it makes me because it's amazing.
They are pretty fucking good, aren't they?
Oh, my God, yes.
Enjoy. All right. There you go. So if you want to send us an email for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. We're going to get into some more news, and I'm going to apologize because I can't seem to get rid of these hiccups, but I'm going to do my best. So let's go to Loki to get some gaming news.
All right. So this is unfortunate. You know, there was a whole issue with companies suing other companies for copying things. So, for example, you know, you had the folks at Blue Hole that were suing Epic Games for...
Are they Blue Hole?
For copying. No, I don't know.
Don't they use bleach?
They probably don't.
Weren't you leaving?
Well, you're the one who brought a Bextifer earlier. I'm just saying.
So, unfortunately, you know, they were accused of copying something, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But this is another game that actually has been on my radar because I have it in my want list for Steam. It's a game called Donut Country. It's a sort of, I guess, sort of like a reverse Katamari game. So basically you have a hole that you control that you suck up things in, and as you know, things fall into the hole gets bigger and you can drop more things into the hole. So this game's been in development for a while, and because of that, and with the you know, information that's been out there, somebody has stolen that idea and put out a game called Hole.io, because that's so fucking clever.
Holy moly.
It's on the iOS store. And, you know, I went into this endeavor to make something meaningful to people and spent a long time trying to figure out what it looks like. I had to make all of the little details myself. I wanted it to matter. They just took the elevator pitch, the unique selling point. It is the message that content doesn't matter. The message is, if you can find the content for free, take it. So that's kind of unfortunate. That someone kind of stole the concept of the game. But I'm looking for the actual game coming out at some point.
And I guess this is why companies don't announce stuff way in advance anymore, because people will just flat out fucking steal it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of games that are kind of like that. So, I don't know. And apparently, I think this company has been doing this for a while. There's other companies, you know, they've had that ridiculous fishing had an issue. There was a different publisher that released a game called Ninja Fishing that was very similar. There was, I guess, another, I don't know. It's unfortunate. But, you know, honestly, though, even though they stole the premise of the game, it's going to come out to the polish. And I think that this game's going to be much more polished when it comes out.
This other, like, whole IO thing was just made using, like, Unity assets from the store, like $20 Unity assets, right?
Yeah, it looks really cheap.
Silly.
And, I mean, that's, you see that a lot of times, these really fast, like, kind of make a quick buck games, so whatever. I mean, it does suck, but true quality wins out in the end, usually.
All right, so the latest and greatest of what's going on in EA Star Wars drama. So you might remember in October, EA shut down Visceral Games that was working on a secret Star Wars project, and Amy Hennig, who is famous for Uncharted, kind of going back to that email earlier, was a big part of this. But Amy Hennig left the company, and there was really no talk about what happened to the game, what happened to anything with this. Well, at a conference called Game Lab in Barcelona this past week, Amy Hennig talked to Eurogamer about how she actually left EA in January of this year and was starting up her own new independent studio, but hadn't had a chance to announce what's going on or talk about what it is. Apparently, she was asked about, is she still the creative director of a Star Wars project? The reply was, I'm not. I haven't worked at EA since January, technically, legally. This is the problem. It was hard enough for them, but people were immediately asking them, is Amy working with you? And the answer was, well, we're in negotiations, you know, because that's the way these things go. I haven't been in, but look, I get along with all those people. I consider even the guys on the executive team friends, but it made it awkward because it was like, I never got the chance to announce that I'm not at EA, so I just need to pull off that Band-Aid at some point, but also had nothing to announce. It makes it sound like I just went home. But I'm doing all this stuff, working on all kinds of things. And thanks to that last story, you know why she isn't talking about them.
Yes.
Because somebody would probably just steal them. But she's working independently, and that's what's going on. So that project is on the shelf now, is the last word on that. So rest in peace, EA Star Wars project. Loki, you want to take this next one that was marked for Jamie before she left?
I'm sure we can do that. Let's,
because I still have this stupid hiccup thing going on. I hate it.
Oh no!
I'm gonna get more water while you do these stories.
All right. So Mega Man X5, you know, was just recently released, re-released, and they've actually taken out some of these Guns N' Roses references. So with the Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 and 2, I'm not even really sure what the original references were. Oh, I guess so. Let's see. They had, I guess it was with the localization. Oh, so they had, you know, now that I think of it, didn't they have like references to other stuff or Guns N' Roses stuff in like Super Mario Bros. 3 as well? You know, with the Koopas and stuff, Lemmy Koopa after. Lemmy, and then
they were all named after like punk rock icons, like Wendy O.
I guess that makes sense, and they all kind of look punk rock, anyways. I mean, that makes sense.
But yeah, in this game, the boss robots or the big robot things were, they changed the names. They didn't use the literal Japanese translations. They made them like they were like parody names off like people that were in Guns N' Roses. It was a little silly.
Yeah, so they decided to go ahead and just basically said that in our mission to make these collections an authentic Mega Man X experience, we took an opportunity to better align the names of the Mega Man 5 or Mega Man X5 Mavericks across all regions for better narrative cohesion across the series, making the names more aligned with the original Japanese versions. We hope that fans appreciate our intent on unifying the Mega Man X Maverick naming conventions after all these
years. Yes, they do.
Interesting. I don't know. It's neat, I guess, that they did that. But no one else is also neat and interesting. This whole lawsuit with PUBG Corp and Epic over Fortnite. So they dropped the lawsuit, and we don't know why. They filed, you know, the dismissal, and that's that. And my thoughts is maybe they just didn't. I mean, honestly, the argument was kind of shallow anyways. They didn't really have any sort of way of, I don't know, they're like, oh yeah, each game has a frying pan, and it's a similar type of gameplay. I don't think that was really much to go on. But
well, wasn't there something where, like, in one country, they essentially have, like, the same parent company?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's like they're essentially suing themselves in one area. So it's a little, you know, maybe together they can work a little
better. So it may have had something to do with that. It may have been because their suit was kind of weak. Who knows? But I don't know. One other thing that we didn't mention, though, that I wanted to, was there's another lawsuit actually going on with Bethesda and Warner Games. And see, Bethesda released this very popular game that everybody's aware of now called Fallout Shelter. And so now Warner Games had a company, I think, that actually had that originally worked on Fallout Shelter or had access to that code or something, came out with a Westworld-themed game that looks extremely like Fallout Shelter, even to the point of having the same type of bugs in their code at launch that Fallout Shelter had, which made them suspicious that, perhaps they were using our old code to create this game.
Perhaps.
And so now there's a whole suit against that as well. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But that's kind of where things are going. Lawsuits, lawsuits, lawsuits.
Some clarifications in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says Tencent has a major stake in Epic. They pretty much own them, but only a minor stake in Blue Hole, so they don't own them, at least not yet. And Bobby Blackwolf says, honestly, Bethesda finding stolen code by looking at the bugs is the most Bethesda thing ever.
Yes, it is.
True point. And some light on the Super Mario Bros. 3 localization that you brought up there. Dark Tetsuya says, the Super Mario thing, a lot of them were references to famous musicians, like Lemmy was Lemmy Kilmeister of Motorhead, Roy was Roy Orbison, and there were a couple others. JD follows up Wendy O. Williams, Iggy Pop, and Larry was named after no one, but that was all North American localization.
So. They're like, crap, we need one more name. Larry. Done.
Inky, Pinky, Blinky, and Sue. Or was it Clyde?
I think
it was Clyde and Pac-Man and Sue and Miss Pac-Man. Anyway. All right. Moving on. One more story for you guys before we open up the Skype line over at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. How many of you guys have played Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn? I'm shocked, Loki, that you haven't checked this out.
I wasn't a fan of the first Shaq Fu game. I mean, it looked okay.
Well, it's A Legend Reborn now. The physical edition just came out this past week. Apparently, physical editions of the game have a leaflet with instructions on how to unlock a bonus game called Barack Fu, The Adventures of Dirty Barry, which, of course, the main character is very much Barack Obama. And I believe the way American parody laws and so forth are written, you can parody politicians all you want. If you want to do a game about Shaquille O'Neal and use his likeness, you have to pay him money. You have to... He has to, you know, sign away his likeness. But the reason why you had all these political figures in NBA Jam back in the day is because with politicians, you don't owe them that same thing. Because they are politicians, they are in the public eye, therefore they can be parodied. So Barack Obama, I guess, made a good target for a game like this because they did not have to get his permission for it. So they say, and yes, the game calls itself a parody of one of the greatest heroes of our time. As the ex-POTUS on notice, you will step in when the police can't figure out why a number of celebrities have been killed in order to solve the case yourself. And there are some trailers out there if you want to check it out called Barack Fu, which is a side game of Shaq Fu. Let's face it, they are both going to be shitty. But good for some lulz, right?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, Dark to See in chat says, I almost want to check that out. Yep. All right, anyway, let's get to the Skype line. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I'll do the best I can to talk to you through these hiccups. While we wait to see if any calls come in, do we have any last-minute stories, Loki?
I don't. I looked.
We burned through a lot of the stuff. It seemed like it was a busy news week, but we burned through a lot of it, didn't we?
I mean, we can just kind of add more fuel to the fire. Basically, Bethesda's Todd Howard said Sony's preventing Fallout 76 crossplay.
Oh, I heard that one too, yeah.
And remember, they said, we're listening. We hear your concerns. Yeah, but they're not going to
do that. They don't hear them right now. They're trying to figure it out for 6 months from now, maybe, but they're not hearing it right now. All right, we got a call coming in, so let's get to it. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Robert, it's Raging Eater.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Not a whole lot. Well, yeah, I wanted to bring up Pinball Arcade.
Right. Fuck, that ended, and I forgot to buy the tables. God damn it.
I was going to ask you exactly that because you didn't exactly mention that in
God
your gaming
damn
week.
It. No, I forgot. And the month is now over. No, I went out of town. This is what happens when I go on vacation. So I'll just have to do what everybody else on the internet does and steal them.
Well, yeah, you know, I wouldn't recommend doing that because I,
I wouldn't. Honestly, I wouldn't either. You know, I want to reward the hardworking developers, but if they're gone, they're gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, it's kind of a shame that the whole thing with Beale and Williams went down like it did because,
we'll just have to see what's next. I mean, there's obviously some type of reason for it, so we have to see kind of like where does the licensing end up going from here? You know, is there, or is there a reason they pulled it, or was it purely financially motivated. We'll find out, hopefully, in the coming year or two, as whatever studio maybe has the license now announces what they're working on, whether it be a VR thing or who knows. It could be a variety of mobile phones. Who knows?
Yeah. I suppose that we could possibly speculate right now as to what the reasons are, but it's simply that speculation, and it would be probably a complete waste of energy to do that. But it, like you're saying, it was kind of a shame, everything got delisted like that, because unfortunately, while I love pinball, unfortunately, I've been focusing more on buying the pinball effects tables, and I kind of figured, you know what, the pinball arcade tables will always be around. I'll have fun tins of purpose infinite amount of time to buy the table, so I slacked off on buying that.
But I mean, it's not like the pinball FX tables are bad, and some of them have like licenses. They're just not based on anything in reality. But some of those pinball FX tables are great. Like some of their Star Wars tables are a lot of fun, and they have the cool Marvel tables. Didn't Pinball FX have the Street Fighter table too? I think they did.
Original game, yes, it did. In fact, I got the Street Fighter table on the Xbox Live. Unfortunately, since the original Pinball FX never came to Steam, as far as I know,
FX3 is on Steam. I don't know about the original.
Yeah, the first two. Pinball FX 2 was on Steam. It's no longer on Steam. You still have access to 2 if you bought the content for that. It's like you said, 3 is on there as well. And virtually all the tables that you bought on 2, with the exception of a handful, like the soccer tables, I think the explosion, Ms. Explosion Man table, and a couple hours didn't make it get transferred to 3. But other than that, if you had on 2, you could play on 3. But yeah, getting back to my initial point before I got sidetracked, unfortunately, I got behind the eight ball, wanted to buy tables. I was only able to buy 2 yesterday. I managed to get Jackbox, bot, and one other one. I forget the name of it, but I would love to have bought more, but it's not financially feasible this month. So I kind of like, you snooze, you lose,
Yep. Yeah, we can only do what we can do. Bobby Blackwolf is referencing something that came up on his show earlier about the Jackbox Royale. He talked about this on his show. He would like, and I guess I'll say it here, Bobby, since you're convinced they still listen to OLR. If anyone at Jackbox still does listen to this show, Bobby Blackwolf thinks you need to do your own version of 1 versus 100, and that can be your Battle Royale game, your Jackbox Royale. So take 1 versus 100, marry it with You Don't Know Jack or Trivia Murder Party or one of those. Why not Murder Royale? Trivia Murder Royale, honestly. And, kill 100 of your friends. It'll be fun. So Jackbox, we're putting that out there. You know what? You know what, buddies? You don't even have to pay us for that idea. Just have a little shout out in the credits. That's all we want.
Now that you brought up the Jackbox party games, I have a question regarding that. Considering that I never played those and only played the You Don't Know Jack games, how would you say they compare to the Jackbox compares to You Don't Know Jack? Is it better, the same? Is it like apples to oranges?
It's a very similar sense of humor. A lot of the Jackbox games in those party packs, there's a lot of voting type of games where there isn't necessarily a definitive answer. It will, prompt you for certain things. But that was always like a good part about like board games, like, something like Pictionary. Pictionary can be serious, but it can also be really funny. If you play with a lot of like really disgusting people, then they're going to draw everything really perverted as all the pictures. So that's kind of where Jackbox kind of goes, is that it gives you just these ideas, and then ultimately the canvas is your idea. There's not a lot that stays on a very linear path like You Don't Know Jack sort of does, except for what comes to mind, Trivia Murder Party, which was kind of like the You Don't Know Jack game that wasn't exactly You Don't Know Jack, but it was made for mobile phones, that whole sort of thing. So you can see that. But I would definitely encourage you to watch some Twitch streams, you know, to get a real sense for what the game is. But ultimately, I think Jackbox is a great game for people that like board game night. Another group of people I've played Jackbox games with and had a lot of success is that you guys know I was playing these online Survivory type games a couple months ago, and some of the people, like when we were doing calls on Skype, the tribe calls we would call them, some we just play Jackbox games to kind of like bond a little bit. Somebody would screen share and we'd play the Jackbox games of the screen sharing, and these are people that usually don't play a lot of video games but surely would still play board games and stuff. So I think Jackbox is great as like digital board games, I think is the best way I can put it.
All right. Well, on the final note, before I let you guys go to take more calls, on a note tangentially related to video games, as some of you may know, over on GOG, granted they predominantly deal in video games, they do have a very small limited quantity of movies for sale, one of which I highly recommend is actually a concert put on by the composer of the Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, where they did a concert at some kind of festival over in Poland.
Of course, it makes total sense because GOG is owned by the same people that made The Witcher, so it makes sense that that's a thing that they're pushing.
Yeah, and the nice thing is they give you multiple resolutions in the video, including 4K if you happen to have the setup to play 4K videos. So if you like the Witcher series, if you like video game music, and if you want something to show off your 4K setup, by all means, check out the video. The music's great. The concert's great. And, I've been watching it constantly for the past 24 hours or so.
All right.
So, something to check out.
All right.
Anyway, have a nice day.
You too.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. And Dungeon Buster in chat follows up. The music for Witcher 3 is really, really good. Yeah, I mean, that whole game was the artistic presentation of that game was so good. And when I say artistic, I don't just mean graphics, but music is definitely a part of that art. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if anybody else wants to give us a call and call in. So I'm looking at like some of the websites with some of the gaming news for last minute stories. And I still see stories, Loki, about Destiny 2 still going. I guess the Solstice of Heroes event and Crucible playlist changes are coming in July. For those that are still grinding away on Destiny 2, although I wonder if there is going to be a Destiny 3 at this point. Anyway, we have another call coming in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Ranma.
Ranma, your mic sucks, but I'll allow it. What's up, buddy?
It does not suck. Nobody else has this problem except for you, sir.
I don't know. You're going to hear this back, and you're going to be like, something sounds different than it used to. All right, well, what's up, buddy?
Well, in case you have missed it, we had a mini OLL reunion a couple of weeks ago, and we're kind of sad you weren't there for it.
I saw the pictures of you and what the hell does he go by now? Drunami, who was the 23rd Magus back in the day. Yes, I saw those pictures. I was like, is there a convention going on I wasn't aware of? But no, he was just visiting New York, as people sometimes do.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I had no idea he was in town. I had just gotten out of the movies. I'm just checking Facebook. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's at the way station, so I'm like, I can be there in 35 minutes. So,
and 40 minutes later, you made it. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, you're actually pretty much on point with that.
An accurate read. I love it. Did any other OLR listeners, people like SSU 100 Matt, I know, is in the area, any of the other New York City people meet up? Or just
No, but JV must have like these monthly raves I keep forgetting to go to. So
I know. I keep seeing the pictures. God, I need to get back to New York City so bad. I know I've been saying that for like 5 years, but it's true. And Alan's never been, and he really wants to go. I know we're eyeing Toronto for a big trip next year, but New York is definitely on the agenda as well. So just if finances work out well, hopefully I can make that happen.
3 days in New York City, 4 days in Toronto.
That's true. Make a whole travel the world event. Who knows?
I like the sound of that.
Me too. Bobby Blackwolf says, I've actually never actually been to New York either. You know, we just need to find a convention to insert ourselves into and try to do some panels. Maybe I'll ask around at DragonCon, see what they're doing in New York that we could maybe get in on.
Well, I know a lot of conventions coming up, and I do keep my ear to them. I have been recruited to staff a convention in D.C. and run panels, so we'll see how that goes.
All right. Sounds good. Well, anything else you want to call or you want to talk about tonight, my friend?
Yes, actually. Now, has there been a game that you have played somewhere down the line and you really enjoyed this game and you say to yourself, I can't believe I slept on this game?
That's how I felt about Mass Effect when I finally got into it, honestly, because I did sleep on that for many years and then finally came back and played it later, and I was in love with it. A game that I felt like I slept on, and then I finally came back and checked it out, and I liked it a lot. There's so many games that I check out right at release. It's so hard to go back in the archive and visit old things. Loki, is there anything for you, like, where it's like, oh man, I slept on this. I should have had a better eye on it.
No, I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Maybe Minecraft a little bit.
Okay, I go with that too. Minecraft, like, what was the big deal? Over in chat at live.vognetwork.com, SSJ100 Matt says the South Park games. It's a pretty good answer too. Well, what about you, Rama? I'm flipping it on you. What was the game that you wrote off?
State of Decay 1 and 2.
Okay. Ooh, you know what? Speaking of, like, shooty bang bang pew pew games, the Doom remake would be one where I was like, I kind of wrote it off as a shooty pew pew game, but it's actually a lot of fun. I really like the Doom remake.
I played that, but I really couldn't get into it because I felt like the Doom remake was, like, a little bit too high fast paced for me, so I couldn't,
that's,
you know, get into
love
it as well.
About it, but the old Doom games were super fast paced too, so. Anyway, my friend, I'm going to let you go to see if we can squeeze in any more calls. But thanks for the call.
Hey, no problem. Appreciate it.
Yep, and check the gain on your mic. Trust me. All right, later, buddy.
All right.
Bye. All right, let's see. Oh, Dark Tetsuya says Fortnite. I didn't think I'd enjoy it, but from playing the Switch version, I've been enjoying it. Yeah, there's hella people that are checking out Fortnite now for the first time on the Switch. It's crazy. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. We'll try to do like a last-minute call for calls. Meanwhile, I know a lot of folks are talking about The Crew 2 right now. I didn't realize The Crew 2 had just come out.
Yeah, I think, I thought they were doing just like beta testing for that. Or
FIFA 19 is going to be disclosing the odds on the Ultimate Team packs. So you will know what's in those loot boxes or the odds of getting the loot that you want. Which
that's I good.
Think is kind of where the industry is kind of forcing things to go.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that's a good thing. I don't know. Anyway. Bobby Blackwolf says, as far as Crew 2 goes, beta testing was last weekend. It came out for realsies this week. The beta testing crashed my router. So this week I bought a new router. Yikes, that sounds pretty bad. I guess I missed that whole beta test because I was out of town. Pretty good excuse, right? For those of you that are playing Monster Hunter World, there is a Twilight Fest kicking off on July 13th. You know, they're supposed to be having an event in Final Fantasy 14 around Monster Hunter as well, but I haven't heard the details on that yet. So, anyway. All right, well, sadly, it doesn't look like any more calls are coming in, so I think we are going to start to wrap up for the night, and I've still got these hiccups that are just pissing me off. So we're going to go ahead and start to wrap up here, but as always, we want to thank you guys for tuning in to Orange Lounge Radio, and if you like what you heard here, please tell a friend about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to air, we can't air them, so we don't have a big million-dollar website behind us or anything like that. It's just us, homegrown. So word of mouth goes a long way. And you know what? Even if you tell your friends, you know what really helps is a nice 5-star review on iTunes or Google Podcasts, which I think they kind of changed their podcast app this week. So a lot of you guys are checking that out again. So a nice 5-star review wherever you found this call or wherever you found this show would be welcome. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to push through these hiccups and like stop hicking me. Stop. Anyway.
You know, scare those hiccups out of you.
What?
Nice
playing Rush of Blood.
Rush of Blood.
Hey, Loki, I'm still blown away that you got this, because I know these things ain't cheap. So I hope there was a sale or something. So appreciate it very much.
We'll just assume that there was a sale.
All right. So, all right. We'll assume there was a sale. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Let's go around and get everybody's final thought. Loki, your final thought tonight.
Very tempted to go down to Walmart to pick up an SNES Classic.
Oh, there you go. And you get an NES Classic while you're at it, because those are back in stock.
Yeah, but if I'm
Alan ordered me one. It's coming up Friday.
They have the Rancho one right now.
Oh, do they really? Oh, he already mail ordered it, so we're just waiting on it.
So, I mean,
he didn't know that they were like being reprinted massively. So when he saw one at retail price, he was like, I don't know what the fuck's happening, but I'm buying one for Rob right now. So,
I've seen the SNES Classics, and I've keep like holding off on it, but like my kids today were looking at like Super Nintendo games. They're like, look, a new Mario game. I'm like, no, that's an old Mario game. Look, a Toy Story game. No, that's an old Toy Story game. So I'm like, you know, I could just get one of these. I have a Raspberry Pi. You know, I could really just do a Raspberry Pi, but
it's
I like
the
controllers.
Yeah,
you know?
The controllers are good.
And that's the other thing too, is like I would get an NES Classic, but I can just fucking mod the SNES Classic to put the NES games on there, so it's really no point.
All right.
So I may try to do that.
And my final thought is I get to play Tetris Attack in VR, or Tetris Effect in VR, and I'm so happy.
Yeah, in a few months.
In a few months, yeah. I don't get to do it tonight, but in a few months. So in the meantime, I have Rez. I have Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, and I have Skyrim VR, which I really want to check out because I hope I can.
I still haven't checked that out yet. I bought it, but I haven't played it yet. But it'll be interesting. I don't know if that's necessarily the best VR game, but it's Skyrim. It's fun.
All right.
But check out the demo disc, and definitely like Job Simulator. Those are pretty fun.
Oh, God, yes, of course.
Or actually, Job Simulator, it can get a little boring because it's a little kiddie, but like Accounting Plus.
All right.
Or I just picked it up. I really want to try Just in Time Inc. because it looks hilarious. It's overly violent but cute.
Uh-huh.
So like they have like scenarios, like for example there's one that there's a grandma in the middle, she's like with her walker and stuff, and there's a whole bunch of knife wielding murderers that are trying to kill her, and you have to kill them while everything's moving slow, and it's hilarious.
All right, I'll have to get on the PlayStation store and check out all these games that they have now that I can actually play. All right, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. My other final thought is, fuck hiccups. This is the worst thing in the world. We'll be back in 7 days to do it all over again, hopefully with less hiccups and more gaming news and more of you guys live and on our podcast feed. Thanks to everybody for listening to another week here at Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.